to sort of what they call spoil another adversary. So in other words, if the U.S. military was heavily engaged in Korea and Iran started to act provocatively, they could deploy enough forces to sort of settle Iran down until those forces could be moved over to the second war.
There were more bombings in Baghdad today. At least 24 people killed, dozens more wounded. 6 Utah police officers were shot last night in the city of Ogden while serving a search warrant. Authorities say one of them has died. A suspect also was wounded and treated. A Marine goes on trial today for his actions in Iraq connected to the deaths of 24 Iraqi civilians. CNN's Andy Rose has that story.
After several delays, jury selection is finally expected to happen today for Staff Sergeant Frank Wooderich. He's the only Marine who still faces charges for what happened in Haditha in 2005, an operation where 24 Iraqis were killed, including children. None of the other defendants were convicted, and the charges against Wooderich were changed from murder to manslaughter.
Newt Gingrich is refusing to congratulate Mitt Romney for his narrow win in the Iowa caucuses. Gingrich has moved on to New Hampshire now, which holds its presidential primary next week. Gingrich questions whether Romney is electable.
He'll do fairly well here. This is one of his three best states. But the fact is that Governor Romney, in the end, has a very limited appeal in a conservative party.
A German man arrested in Los Angeles after a string of fires stands charged with 37 counts of arson. A court investigator says the man apparently was lashing out over the government's attempts to extradite his mother to Germany to face charges of fraud and embezzlement. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
One size does not fit all, especially when you're talking about something as important as your mortgage. Hey everybody, Jay Farner here, and I'd like to introduce the Yorgage from Quicken Loans. That's right, the Yorgage. Our Yorgage is better than a traditional mortgage because it conforms to your goals. It's a fixed-rate home loan that allows you to custom design a term that works best for you, anywhere from 8 to 30 years. Let's say you've got 8 years left on your mortgage, and you want to refinance to a lower interest rate. Our 8-year fixed Yorgage can help. We keep your term short, and we lower your monthly payment. The rate today in an 8-year fixed Yorgage is an amazing 2.875%, APR 3.5%. Take a few minutes out of your busy day. Call Quicken Loans at 800-401-0027. That's 800-401-0027. Or go to quickenloans.com. The Quicken Loans Yorgage. Everything we do is engineered to amaze.
Individual results may vary. Call for additional cost information. Other restrictions may apply. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
The big price cuts just before Christmas and the bigger ones immediately after helped last month finish strong for retailers, which is good news for them following a rather weak beginning to the month. This morning, most of the nation's biggest retail chains post their sales totals from December, of course, the industry's most important month of the year. Analysts expect a comparable sales gain of 4 to 4.5% across the business. Already this morning, we have heard from Costco, whose sales at locales open at least a year rose 7% last month. That is a bit shy of expectations. Ongoing pain in the housing business is translating to more gain in the apartment business. Real estate data firm Reese reports the nation's apartment vacancy rate has now dropped to its lowest level since late 2001, as more Americans seek to rent instead of buy. Lots of red for markets around the world. Japan's Nikkei fell almost 1%. Europe's markets down 0.5%. S&P futures losing 10 points. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Millions of fans agree. Cable's new hit series is on the Weather Channel.
So let's go!
Coast Guard Alaska.
If we don't get on scene, no one else will.
Fly along on bone-chilling rescues in some of the world's most extreme weather.
If you make a mistake, I'll call someone their life.
Out here, heroes come in waves.
You have the potential to save someone that's out there.
Coast Guard Alaska, Wednesday nights at 9, with new episodes beginning January 11th, only on the Weather Channel.
Congratulations, the job is yours. It felt good to say those words when I hired my first employee, but it was soon followed by, how does a single paycheck generate a mountain of paperwork? Then Lyle, my accountant, said, let's just get Intuit Payroll. It'll make both our lives easier. So I got Intuit Payroll, and now I pay my employees and file tax forms in just a few minutes. And Lyle says things like, you are the payroll queen.
Get a 30-day free trial and learn why over a million small businesses use Intuit Payroll at payroll.com.
Protection against web-based threats like malware and phishing has become a serious challenge for companies with distributed workforces. Barracuda Networks, the world leader in content security, application delivery, and data protection, with more than 130,000 customers worldwide, can help. Web Security Flex combines physical and virtual gateways with cloud services to protect both on-site and remote users from a single portal. Stop web threats. Visit Barracuda.com/Flex to try Barracuda Web Security Flex free for 30 days. That's Barracuda.com/Flex.
My wireless internet bill was really adding up. So to save some money, I just used my neighbor's unpassword-protected Wi-Fi for free.
It's unpassword-protected because the signal doesn't go outside of the house. Now get off my couch.
Not to mention, I recharge my laptop for free.
Mm-hmm, not free.
And while I wait for all my downloads, they really need more bandwidth. I just grab a soda. Not much of a diet fan, but beggars can't be choosers.
You're not begging, you're just choosing.
Neighbors are great.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to Geico.com.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to First Shift. I'm Jeff Radford, and today I'm bringing you simply the best clips and most recent clips of First Shift with Tony Truffiano. Interviews, segments, thoughts, conversations that have sparked a lot of feedback. We thank you so much for listening and being part of the show, being part of our lives, and we hope you enjoy the show. From all of us to all of you, we hope you have a safe and happy holiday season. But now, on to the clips.
Let us welcome back from the American Federation of Teachers, Mr. David Hacker. David, a pleasure to have you with us today.
It's great to be back, Tony. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Gosh, where to begin? It's interesting, as I, especially after we come off and we talked to you last week after the election. We know some of the school districts' millages didn't pass, and that can really be a challenge. Some of them, you know, were very hopeful, although I'm smart enough to know they didn't spend money they didn't have yet. But that does create some challenges as administrators, as we take a look at administrators that now have to kind of regroup from that. I want to use the word counseled two teachers last week that had called me late in the week that were just very distraught over their millages not passing. And, they said, well, fortunately, the principal in our building turned to the teachers and said, what can we do together to make this better? Do you see that happening more and more often? I'd like to think that that's what's happening.
Well, you know, first, a number of millages didn't, but also numerous did. Many, many communities.
86%,
right,
yeah, which
right,
is great.
86% of where there were votes. Schools are important. Our kids are our number one priority. That means schools are important. And they voted for the millage. Those that didn't, disappointing. Close to home here, the Macomb County special ed millage going down is very, very disappointing, and we have to revisit that, and we have to get that done. What you described, Tony, is what we want to achieve in every school district where we represent people, and that is a collaborative effort that lets, you know, in good times or bad times economically, let's work together, district and teachers and staff with their unions, obviously, at the school level, principal and staff through the building rep for the unions, working together to address these issues. Because, you know, we have differences with school administration, needless to say, but the overwhelming majority of the issues we're working on and trying to resolve together.
No, and it's nice to see that. One of the things that we wanted to talk about today, you said were teacher certification proposed rules. Mm-hmm. And so I'll ask you to expand on that.
Well, there was a hearing last night at Wayne County Regional Education Services Agency about some proposed rules to changes to teacher certification. And there is one proposed rule that I give State Superintendent Mike Flanagan a lot of credit, because he has said publicly the rule I'm going to talk about, the proposed rule, will not be in the final set of rules, because he realizes that while it was suggested and it was recommended, that it makes no sense whatsoever. So we appreciate him saying that. And with that rule, basically would say, if it was enacted, was that if a teacher is not cutting it in a school district for a certain length of time, they could totally lose their license. Not that they would be dismissed from teaching from that school district, which may make sense if they're not cutting it in that school district, but they would totally lose their teaching license and they couldn't teach anyplace else. And the problems we have with that and why I think Superintendent Flanagan realizes that that is not the way to go is, you know, first of all, there are many flawed evaluation systems as much as we work to make them much better, much fairer, much more comprehensive. There are certainly many instances where people doing the evaluation aren't trained. There are certainly instances, and I hope not many, where an evaluation system is geared to try to get someone they want to get. Just because you're not a good fit for a certain school or a certain school district doesn't mean you wouldn't do well elsewhere. But it also would deter teachers from wanting to teach in districts or in schools where things are more difficult, which there's less money coming in, where there are more community issues that make it harder for the schools to succeed. Teachers would say, why do I want to go there? If things don't work out, I could lose my license. So it's really a proposed rule that, if it was a rule, would be really detrimental to the education of our children. And it's good to see that a number of people spoke against it last night. And it's good to see Superintendent Flanagan saying this will not be in the final set of rules.
Well, you know, I guess I'd never considered that fit before. You just said the fit between the teacher and the community, or the teacher. I've never thought about that before, but certainly that makes a great deal of sense.
Well, it absolutely makes a great deal of sense. You know, the clear thing, sort of the obvious thing to say, so it sounds crazy to say it, it's a very personal thing. It's people interacting, be it at the level of principal and administration and teacher and staff adults, be it the key relationship teachers and their students. It's a personal thing, and sometimes, you know, two good people who are doing good work and are committed, you know, things just don't come together.
Right.
So give people another shot.
And that does make complete sense. I would have never made that connection. And I can see where, and again, you said it perfectly, two good people, and even two great people.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, you don't mesh, or the, you know, personalities are not there, or, you know, the priorities are different. For whatever the reason, doesn't really matter what the reason are, but that just makes complete and utter sense. And I'd never thought of that before. So, that is really, really interesting. Tell me that this meeting that you were at, are we looking at, is this a statewide initiative to, you know, just to revisit the rules process?
It's a statewide initiative. There was a committee set up by the Michigan Department of Education to take a look at teacher certification. And that committee came up with a series of recommendations. There are some other recommendations in there that, you know, we commented on, and it was someone else representing AFT Michigan, not myself. But that was the key one. And the final set of rules, which will be approved by Superintendent Flanagan, are statewide rules for teacher certification.
All right, and so that will actually be, now this is something that would be higher ed, you know, as I'm getting my certification, going to school. The criteria I will have to meet just to get certified as a teacher.
It revises the criteria you need to meet, and the criteria that you need to continue to meet. You know, there are very, very few professions, as you know, in this world where you have to continue at your own expense to go to school, get credits, get what we call continuing education units or college credits.
Right.
And you have to continue to renew your license. And you have to continue to study at your own cost. And I think very, very few people out there know that.
In fact, when I asked the question online yesterday, you know, what makes a quality teacher? One of the people said, somebody that is eagerly looking to continue their to educate themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think eagerly was an interesting word that they used. I know a lot of teachers, as you know, David, And I think it's, you know, that people don't understand that the challenge it is. I've never heard an educator say, I don't want to do that. I don't want to have to take that class. In fact, it's been the exact opposite. You know, oh, next summer, in fact, I was in Port Huron, Lapeer, early spring last year. or late spring last year, and there was a woman talking about her continuing education unit, and she could not wait for school to get over because she couldn't wait to take this class. I mean, it's like, seriously? You can't wait for school to get over so you can go spend time in a classroom. But she sincerely was excited about that.
No one becomes a teacher because I need a job. I need to make some money so I can provide for family and other things. That isn't, you know, no one become, people are committed and are committed to teaching and are committed to learning. I mean, if, and I agree with the person who emailed or Facebooked in that one aspect of a quality teacher is someone not just eager to teach, but eager to learn, because that will make you a better teacher.
Well, absolutely. You know, we don't often, and it's a conversation I don't think I've ever heard on the radio, you've never read about it in the paper, you've never seen it on TV, and that is the certification process. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever talks about that, and I think it's important to have this conversation today.
And, you know, there's another, and I like to give credit where credit is due, but I forget the name of this newspaper columnist, so if they're listening, I apologize. but there was a great column in a paper the other day that one of my coworkers showed me, real interesting, that says when a doctor says to me, you know, David, to be real healthy, I'm going to do these things, but you have to exercise and you have to eat right. And then if I don't exercise and I don't eat right, and God forbid I get real, real sick, no one blames the doctor.
Right.
For that. They say the doctor told you what you needed to do and you didn't do it. You know, that's on you. But when it comes to a teacher, a teacher could recommend to parents what they need to do, could recommend to students or tell students what they need to do as far as homework goes and extra work goes. And when that doesn't happen, the teacher gets blamed.
It's the teacher's fault.
Right.
You're right. Okay, we got to get to the break. David Hecker, again, my guest. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. When we come back, what you think makes a quality teacher? We'll certainly be asking David Hecker what he thinks makes a quality teacher. We'll take the break here on 1310 WDTW.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
Recently on First Shift.
Just joining me now is Jerry Persaud, the Senior Vice President of Advancement at Gleaners Community Food Bank.
Probably the single biggest thing that's happening is happening at the federal level now, and that's looking at the food stamp program. In 2006, there were 26.5 million people participating in the food stamp program. Then you had the economic decrease, and in 2011, there were 44.2 million. That's a huge increase in the number of people seeking food help. And so if you cut that program by 10%, the jobs aren't there for people. What are they going to do? That will have a tremendous impact on what's going to happen at our local level.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
All of Michigan's top newsmakers talk to Tony Trupiano.
Joining us now is Debbie Stabenow.
Good morning, Tony. It's always great to be with you.
Former Michigan Congressman Mark Schauer.
It's great to be with you, Tony.
Cindy Estrada joins us.
Thank you for having me.
State Representative Harvey Santana. You're a rock star, Bert Bernero.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. You're too kind, Tony.
And my good friend, Congressman Hanson Tharp. Welcome to First Shift.
Tony, it's great being on your show.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Weekdays 6 to 9
on 1310 WDTW. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
Welcome back. Tony Trupiano with you. My guest again, Mr. David Hecker, president of AFT Michigan. And we've been talking about teacher certification. David had asked the question yesterday when he had sent what he would like to talk about today. And he said, would love to have calls on what people believe is a quality teacher. And we had posted it to Facebook, and I'd asked people to send me some response, and I actually got a decent response. And certainly feel free to call us now if you'd like with your ideas on what a quality teacher is, 888-552-3595. But let me ask you first, David Hecker, why you wanted to ask that question.
Well, you know, we have spoken on prior shows, Tony, about teacher evaluations. You've spoken about it a lot because it is so, so important. And the state passed the teacher evaluation law a few months ago, and now there is a governor's evaluation council. I probably have that name wrong. People to look at how they put together a state framework for teacher evaluation based on the law. Now, you know, we think these evaluations need to be worked on by labor and management at the local level, not mandated.
Right.
But laws are laws, and be it a state framework or be it something locally put together, we talk a lot about evaluation, but you have to evaluate people according to a standard, and we really don't talk very much about what's that standard, and that standard is what's a quality teacher. You know, I can have an effective evaluation tool, but I don't know what I'm really comparing a teacher to as far as what a teacher should be, then that evaluation tool is not going to be as effective as it can be. So we really need to up the volume of the conversation in defining what a quality teacher is, what are the aspects of a quality teacher.
Well, and again, the response that we got, and I'll share this with you and then have you comment on this. People had said a sense of humor, a willingness to do whatever it takes, whatever that means, time after school to help individual kids who need help, patience and a sense of humor, eagerly continuing to educate themselves, honesty and demanding. Someone who is willing to stand up to the administration when necessary, and last, confidence and clarity in leadership, which I thought was a really interesting one as well. What do you think of that list, David?
I think that's a fantastic list, and you know, Tony knows, but tell listeners, all this is being written down.
This is
going to help us in our work. You know, when you a sense of humor, I wondered if the caller or the typer meant sense of humor because that helps engage the students, or sense of humor because with all the vicious attacks on teachers, that's one way to deal with it.
Well, one of the sense of humor comments actually came on Facebook, and what the person wrote was, I wouldn't have got through school without the teacher's sense of humor.
Right.
So that was from a student's perspective.
And that's what I think the caller or the typer meant. But I also couldn't help but thinking about, you know, how teachers have to deal with these attacks day in, day out.
Oh, yeah.
But patience, you know, absolutely. I mean, you know, it takes time for students to process, to learn, and you present it, and you present it well, and some students learn differently than other students, and it takes an awful lot of patience, sense of humor. Whatever it takes is what teachers do. You know, that's from endless, endless hours to taking money out of their pocket to pay for supplies and things that the kids need that the school district just doesn't provide. You know, time after school, I mean, that's just a given that teachers do. We mentioned continuing education, the need to educate themselves. They desire to do it. It's also required. Standing up to administration is part of what makes a good teacher, because if administration decides that something should be done that is not positive for the kids,
can I ask a question?
Teacher should stand up to
can
that.
I ask a question in regard to that, though? I've talked with enough teachers now to know they're a little bit afraid. David, they're a little bit afraid to stand up because tenure has changed.
You're right, tenure has changed. There is a lower standard, a lower bar that administration has to meet now, thanks to the Republican legislature, a lower bar to dismiss a teacher. It's arbitrary and capricious, which sounds like pretty strong words, but in the legal world, it is a much lower bar than reasonable and just cause, which used to be. And yeah, so it's one of the many important reasons why teachers and all employees need unions, so they have that protection to speak up. But yeah, teachers are concerned. One, it's a lower bar. But two, there are so many layoffs in teaching that, you know, to find another job someplace else is extremely
right.
difficult.
Right, and so it's an important conversation, absolutely.
So these are all great great attributes of a quality teacher. The one I just want to build on a little bit, which sort of mentioned coming out of one of the comments your listeners had, which again, I think a lot of people, you know, if people aren't teachers, they're not going to think about teaching. That's very, very understandable. I don't think about what it is to do your show. But differentiated instruction. And that is, you know, you're going to have a room nowadays of, well, we know in Detroit, 54 kids, but, you know, 30, 31, 32 kids, and they're all going to learn slightly differently. The obvious differences is some are going to learn better from hearing by hearing. Some are going to learn visually. I mean, that's true with adults, obviously. And there are many variations within that a teacher really has to be able to be flexible and figure out how a student learns and use that method.
Before we get to the phones, let me ask you a question. I don't know if you can stay a little later today.
Yes, I can.
Good, because we're going to get to the break, and I know we're not done with this conversation. Let me go to the phones and welcome Mark and Warren. Again, folks, if you want to join us, 888-552-3595. Mark, welcome to the show. You're on the air with David Hecker.
Hey, David, Mark from DFT Executive Board. How you doing?
Good, Mark. How are you?
Good, good. Always good talking with you. Listen, one of the things that I think we should point out on the public airwaves is one of the things that makes a good teacher to the state are MEEP scores, and I think that's fundamentally wrong. Of course, I don't want to discredit the fact that the objectives on the MEEP, there's some validity to them, and obviously they're important. But the unfortunate thing, as you know, in some of the urban areas where we teach and so forth, there's a lot more progress that's made socially as well as educationally that you can't put down with a number two pencil on a merit test. So the public, I think, has to be tuned into the fact that a lot of this stuff that's coming down from the state is purely punitive, and they're not being quite as objective as they need to be and look at the gestalt part of the student, as far as educating them. Yeah. I was wondering if maybe you could elaborate on that.
Yeah, and thank you, Mark, for the call and the question. David, let's go to the break and come back and address that after.
Thank you, Mark.
Mark's a great, great guy. Calls the show a lot. Glad to have him out there. I want to talk a little bit about standardized testing, because we have a bad habit of drawing that the correlation that MEEP score has something to do with the quality of teacher in the classroom, and we need to correct that. We truly do. David Hecker, again, my guest. Again, feel free to join us. 888-552-3595. This is Tony Truppiano. You are listening to First Shift We'll be back after we take this break on 1310.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
And joining us now is Cheryl Witten, the president of the Michigan Advisory Board for Blessings in a Backpack.
Blessings in a Backpack is a national organization. This teacher was concerned because she had kids in her school who came back from the weekend tired and hungry and by no means ready to learn. These children are on the free and reduced lunch program during school week, but no one thought, what happens to these children when they go home on Friday? So came up with the very simple idea, let's pack a backpack with food to take home with them on Friday, and they would return their backpack on Monday to be refilled.
All right, so if I contact Blessings in a Backpack, MI.org, how do I get involved?
There is a page to make a donation, and then we as the Michigan Board will determine where the greatest need is.
Blessings in a Backpack, MI.org.
They say the early bird gets the worm, which is fine with me because I really don't want a worm. I did, however, want one of those Ferrari FFs that Neiman Marcus was offering in its Christmas catalog this year. With a 651-horsepower V12 engine, this baby can top 200 miles an hour. That would really shorten my commute, except, of course, for little hindrances like rush hour traffic, uptight cops, and speed bumps. Yet, just having an FF parked in my driveway would speak volumes about my prestige and personal worthiness in this world. Start with a beautiful interior done in semi-aniline leather. I don't know what aniline is, nor do I know why it's only semi rather than full aniline, but I like the fact that Neiman's throws in a matching three-piece set of luggage, including a travel bag for golf clubs, made out of the same stuff. There's beaucoup room for luggage, too. The FF has 16 cubic feet of trunk space, which I think is bigger than my bedroom. However, I have to say that I'm not wild about the car's color, which the catalog calls Grigio Caldo. Huh? I learned from an Italian dictionary that this means warm drab, which doesn't exactly light my fire. But maybe the dull color is why these Ferraris are priced at only $395,000 each. And what the hey, you can always take the car to an Earl Scheib paint shop and have the color juiced up. What makes the FF worth the price, though, is its exclusiveness. Neiman's made only 10 of them available, and get this, each one comes with a numbered plaque, thus certifying that you're one of the 10 most special humans on Earth. This is Jim Hightower saying, but alas, I call too late to get mine. Neiman said that it sold out within 50 minutes of the sales date. It just shows how tough it is out there for us luxury shoppers, and you thought you had it bad.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
Ed Hecker, again, my guest with American Federation of Teachers Michigan. Mark had called in the last segment, so David, let's just jump into it. We don't need to remind everybody what's going on. We know who you are. Let's talk a little bit about Mark's call.
Well, Mark makes a great point in that there is so much pressure put on to increase standardized test scores. In Michigan, we know that in most grades is the MEEP, as if increasing standardized test scores are the be-all and end-all of judging if a student is learning and how well a teacher is teaching. And, you know, is there a role for standardized tests? Absolutely. It should never be anything close to determinative as to judging a student or judging a teacher. There has to be multiple measures that are used to get at the answer to those questions.
If I'm a parent, based on what we currently have, David Ecker, if I'm a parent, how do I tell if my kid has a good teacher? I mean, and I hope you understand the spirit of that question.
Mm-hmm. I think there are a variety of ways, no one way determinative, right? I mean, obviously, if my child has absolutely no interest in anything going on at school, I'm not saying everything, but doesn't have any interest in anything going on at school, and I could see the way my child is acting, doesn't mean it's not a quality teacher. But, you know, that's something to go to the school and try to find out more about what's going on. Obviously, it's imperative for parents to be participate in parent-teacher conferences so parents get to meet.
Yeah, that's critical.
Parents get to meet their teachers and talk with their teachers about their children. No one knows the child better than the parent, and it's essential information to help the teacher, but it also gives the parent a way to figure out what they think about the kind of job the teacher is doing. You could also, you know, being the father of three, I could tell that my child, whatever this is, history, science, my child is getting it. My child is really interested in learning this. They're really growing. They're really thinking. You know, it isn't just remembering that the War of 1812 is in 1812.
Right.
Much, much more than that is teachers getting students to think and how to conceptualize and how to process so that what you learn isn't just a specific fact, but you learn really how to think about any kind of situation. And, you know, I can judge that in my child. And if that isn't happening, again, doesn't mean the teacher isn't quality, but it means I need to start asking questions.
Yeah, one of my concerns, and I always upset parents when I do this, but I don't care. I put more of the burden on the parent than I do on the teacher. Mm-hmm. I don't think the teacher has anything to prove, quote unquote. I don't think parents do pay attention to what's happening. I think when they ask that question, how was school today, the vast majority of parents aren't even listening for the answer. They're mm-hmm. asking the question because then all of a sudden they're engaged. I should be asking, hey, how was school today? But they don't listen because they're mm-hmm. they're getting dinner together or whatever it is they're
right.
doing. But I don't
right.
think they, and I think it's unfair. None of us wants to think that our children might be the problem. You know, mm-hmm. it's, well, my son would never do that. Well, you know what? Yeah, your son would.
Mm-hmm.
Your son absolutely would. You don't know what they're doing when you're not around. And so I think that's terribly unfair to the teacher because oftentimes, David, outside of parent-teacher conferences, the only interaction we have with that teacher is when there's a problem. It's never
right.
when there's something good. It's always
right.
when there's a problem. And, you know, I talked to a teacher just a couple weeks ago, and, you know, usually there's an open house at the beginning of every school year. I believe most schools still do
mm-hmm.
that. She said she had four parents show up for the open house. Excellent opportunity. And they do that so you can meet the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
That's on the parents, David. That's not on the teacher.
Right. And, you know, I'll also, you know, in this, we certainly recognize that some parents, to make ends meet, have more than one job or maybe have a job on a shift when parent-teacher conferences are. But if a parent can't make it Wednesday night at 8 o'clock when parent-teacher conferences are, the parent should contact the teacher and say, you know, I'm working then, or for whatever reason I can't make it, let's set up another time. And the teacher's going to say, absolutely.
And that's a great point because we have something now that we didn't have when my kids were in school even, and that's email.
Right.
You know, and my kids, my middle son's sitting in the studio next to us right now, but we didn't have email then. You can email your teachers now.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't do that before.
Mm-hmm.
They all have a phone in the classroom. Now, many
mm-hmm.
of them actually have a cell phone that
mm-hmm.
some of them are even school issued, where the parent can call the teacher
mm-hmm.
right in the classroom. So that's that wasn't available when my
mm-hmm.
I mean, you could call the office, call the teacher,
mm-hmm.
down, but it's so much easier now to interact with a teacher than it's ever been for parents.
And parents know this, but you know, sometimes I forget given what I do is. That if you're an elementary school teacher and you have the kids all day, you know, you're going to have, depending on the school district, 30, 35 children. If you teach a subject in high school, let's say, you're going to have, you know, 5-6 periods
right.
of 30 kids, 180, you know, just time, doesn't allow you to make that, you know, every, you're not thinking about every child at every moment. You can't do that.
Of course, it's
the parent. Who has to, you know, who really needs to, who their child is the number one priority. And so it's the parent's responsibility to make sure the teacher is communicating with the student that if there are any issues that affect what the child is doing, anything going on in life, the teacher should know about, because that affects what the teacher is able to do with the child in the classroom. And so there are a whole number of reasons why it's just imperative for parents to be involved with their children's education.
Yeah, again, and it's a critical component. We were talking, and I kind of want to go back to standardized tests for just a moment. You said that they are important and they're critical, and it is a measurement tool.
Right.
As a teacher, let's look at it from their perspective. I've never met a teacher that says, "Oh man, I'm so excited. Next week we get to teach the MEEP." All right? Or the ACT, man. We're really going to, why is it such a challenge for teachers to have to, don't they literally have to stop their lesson plan and change everything just for that test?
Well, they do. I mean, the phrase we use is teach to the test. And the reason that has happened is because, you know, these tests, the MEEP test was designed to be a diagnostic tool. It wasn't designed for the results to be printed in the Detroit Free Press so you could determine property values of homes in that school district.
Right.
It wasn't designed to say, Tony's a great teacher, David's not a very good teacher.
Right.
It was designed as a diagnostic tool so we could see where the student isn't performing the way we'd like the student to perform, so how do we help that student? That's why it was designed, but the scores are given so much importance, with No Child Left Behind. So much is determined, and now, in part, teacher evaluations, what mandates are going to be required of the school, whether or not children in that school go to another school or not. That teachers are forced to teach to the MEEP, which means, a critical thinking lesson may not happen because I got to make sure the child knows what the child needs to know to do well on the MEEP, because the importance of the MEEP has been made so important, so out of proportion to how it was originally designed to be used. It's absurd, and it's detrimental because it takes time away from what needs to be done in the classroom.
And in fact, last year I just did a little random non-scientific survey, and I asked parents, is the MEEP important? Every one of them said yes. And then the second question was, do you know why? And not one of them knew.
I'll also say this, that my wife and I, knocking on wood here, thanks to the labor movement, thanks to our families, have had an opportunity to get an advanced formal education. And when those MEEP scores come in, and we try to figure out what those MEEP scores are actually saying, it's not the clearest report either to parents.
Quickly, before we let you go today, I have a story in front of me that I wanted to share with you. In Colorado, Jefferson County, Colorado, David, they are now allowing advertising on the bottom of a report card. And in this particular school district, it's an organization that you can invest in your child's higher education. $30,000 a year for 3 years, so it's a $90,000 contract. What do you think of that as a revenue generator?
I saw that story, and the point is obvious, and I think it's why you brought it up, Tony. It is our society should be ashamed that school districts are forced to the point of allowing advertising on report cards because they so desperately need the money.
Yeah.
I mean, this it's a statement. Back in, you and I are old enough, Tony, or I'm old enough, the poster from the late 60s is, let's fund education and have a bake sale to fund B-1 bombers.
Right.
I'm paraphrasing it, obviously. What that is such a statement that this society should be ashamed of. That a school district is forced to do that.
Yeah, and I agree.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best Of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is Jerry Persan, the Senior Vice President of Advancement at Gleaners Community Food Bank.
Probably the single biggest thing that's happening is happening at the federal level now, and that's looking at the food stamp program. In 2006, there were 26.5 million people participating in the food stamp program. Then you had the economic decrease, and in 2011, there were 44.2 million. That's a huge increase in the number of people seeking food help. And so if you cut that program by 10%, the jobs aren't there for people. What are they going to do? That will have a tremendous impact on what's going to happen at our local level.
First Shift with Tony Triano
on 1310 WDTW.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Truppiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Truppiano on Twitter.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. Now back to the clips and interviews.
Yesterday, as I was looking through some information, some headlines, and I'm always looking for not just stuff to do on the show, I'm always looking for supplemental information just to try to keep myself on the cutting edge. I got an email from my friend Desiree Cooper with Planned Parenthood, and I was stunned. I was stunned to find that the state legislature was doing a little sneak attack. I'm going to get to this in just a second, but it was a little bit of a sneak attack. They seem to be wholly focused on doing the things we don't need them to do. And I don't nearly need to enumerate what all those things are. You kind of know if you listen to the show at any given time. The state legislature, heavily Republican, just doesn't have its eye on the ball. The ball at this time is about things about the economy that gets us back to work, gets families to have some kind of stability, to instead of attacking, you know, families by taking away benefits and cutting their welfare programs, we are attacking them, making it harder for them to do what it is that they need to do. And then we get to this next topic, which I'm going to get to. Let me get to my guest, though. She's going to help me set this up. Joining me now is Lori Lamoran. She's been on this show before. She is the president of Planned Parenthood Mid and South Michigan, one of the clearest and most profound leaders for women and human rights in Southeast Michigan. And it's a pleasure to have Lori back on the show this morning. Lori, thank you so much for your time.
Good morning, Tony. Glad to be here.
I appreciate it. You know, listen, I think we can both agree that there are a lot of things our legislature can and should be working on that have absolutely nothing to do with a woman's right to choose. In fact, I can't think of a single reason why they would even want to be discussing a woman's rights to do anything but find a good job right now.
Well, we would agree with you, Tony. That's, you know, Michigan families are really just struggling right now. and have all sorts of things to be concerned about. So the fact that these two bills is what the state Senate is looking at was really quite a shock to us.
Right, well, let's take a look at what they were looking at. If I understand this correctly, because it was kind of a shock to me, this really was, I did not see this coming. What they were looking at doing was actually banning the coverage, abortion coverage in Michigan with any health insurance plan. Do I understand that correctly?
That's correct. They're saying that if insurance plans of all stripes offer women's health coverage, that those coverage policies cannot include the safe legal procedure of abortion.
All right. Well, again, I just can't for the life of me figure out where this comes from. Now, I got to ask, because you guys have lobbyists and you've got your ears to the ground and you know what's happening politically. Did you see this coming?
We didn't, actually, Tony. It was a surprise to us as well. There have been discussions around the country related to health care reform and abortion coverage, but certainly not an all-out ban of abortion coverage for any woman with a health policy. And I think that's a complete overreach. We were very surprised that the government would decide to intrude themselves into the regular offerings that an insurance company might choose to give to a patient.
Well, you know, and again, as we, and because we visited this topic the many times on the show, and first of all, we you know, for those that are not aware of it, not that you shouldn't be, but, you know, abortions happen to be legal. To mandate to insurance companies that they will not cover a legal procedure that is, by the way, best done in a doctor setting and you know, it's safe. It's you know, there's, you know, profoundly good reasons that we do things the way we do them now is beyond offensive to me. And once again, as we look at what the legislature is trying to do, and I need to point out that it is a heavily Republican legislature, this is about, again, trying to legislate morality when this isn't even about morality, nor should it be, Lori, about morality. It should be about the law, and the law says this is legal. I don't understand why they can't just leave this alone.
Well, that's correct. And I think beyond that, you know, this singles out women unnecessarily. It will make sure that, because one of the provisions of the law is that individual health providers could offer a rider that women could purchase specifically for abortion. But certainly women don't say in any one given year, gee, maybe I ought to spend money this year on a separate rider to my abortion, to my health insurance coverage in case I need an abortion. You know, folks don't plan on abortions by definition. It is a procedure that they turn to in desperate moments when they have had a pregnancy that could be threatening to their health. You know, there are 3,000 pregnant women a year who would get diagnosed with breast cancer. They would not have the coverage available to them to choose to terminate a pregnancy to save their own life under this. There is no provision for families who have coverage and experience a rape or an incident of incest that results in pregnancy, which happens more than 25,000 times a year in this country. You know, there are eventualities where very wanted pregnancies turn into health threats or life threats for the mother. There are no provisions for any of that. It's just an out-and-out ban. And unless you have decided ahead of time to purchase a separate rider, which in other states who have done something like this, what ends up happening is that product as a rider for abortion isn't even offered because insurance companies know that there's no market for them. It's an administrative nightmare, et cetera. And I think it's interesting to point out that this a very similar legislation was proposed in 2001, and the governor at that time, John Engler, who was a Republican himself, vetoed the legislation because he said there were real questions about how it should be administered, and he questioned the constitutionality. So, you know, I'm just surprised that this is how we're spending our time and our state's precious resources.
Well, I find it, Lori Lamoran, so invasive and this is not just for women, for families everywhere, that the legislature would take it upon themselves to do something. And we know, by the way, statistically, and there's been a lot of polling done on this, you know, I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat, the majority of Americans don't want this issue to be legislated. They don't want their health insurance to be mandated to do one thing or another. Because the reality is, Lori, at the end of the day, as you said, these decisions are made in desperate times. This is not, you know, somebody doesn't sit around and say, in 2012, I'm having an abortion, so I better make sure that I'm covered. That doesn't happen. And this this idea that the legislature, for whatever reason, they are pretending to be God, because that's what they're doing, is playing God, Lori.
Well, I think the other thing that should be pointed out is we're talking about even women who would be purchasing health insurance coverage, not maybe through their employer, but out of their own pocket and resources. And to say that I do not have available to me the health insurance coverage that I need at that sort of desperate moment, even if I have paid for it of my own volition, out of my own pocket, to say that that won't be available is a dramatic overreach into basic commerce. How can they tell the insurance companies you can or cannot offer this procedure? And, you know, we have to remember that good-thinking people disagree about abortion, and I honor that. But we certainly don't want it to be that our health insurance will be dictated by people's religious beliefs often. Would we ever tolerate, you know, there are some religions that are not comfortable with things like blood transfusions, and we certainly would not tolerate a legislative move that said health insurance companies could not pay for blood transfusions because there are folks that disagree with that. It's a legal procedure that, in fact, is related to saving the health or life of a woman in many, many instances. And we are going to now say that that's not an appropriate coverage vehicle to be offered by insurance companies. I just think that's a dramatic overreach.
Well, let me tell people the good news. The good news is this didn't even get out of committee yesterday because the Democrats, in a very wise move, forced the Republicans to read the unemployment legislation that was before them. So that it could be read into the record, and it was some 800 pages long, therefore delaying any other activity that day. But, Lori, what it does do is give us an opportunity and a little bit of a heads up that this is coming, and we don't know when it's coming, but now is the time people need to get on the phone with their senators and say, absolutely, positively, you must vote no on SBs 6, 12, 13, and 14.
That's right. And I think people need to be reminded that our legislators are there to do our bidding and to represent what we believe. We've learned over and over again that if constituents really reach out to legislators and say that we think that what they're taking up is the wrong thing, it does help some of those that are more thoughtful and really are looking out for the good of their constituents to pause and say maybe this isn't the way to go. So certainly we have hope about that, but in all likelihood we will see these Senate bills pop up again, and I'm fearful that they'll pass, and when they do, then I guess it'll be up to Governor Snyder, and that'll be an interesting statement. He has been strong in his opposition to entertain any bill of a social nature. To his credit, that Governor Snyder has been laser focused on trying to get the economy moving. So I can't imagine he's thrilled with this either. So we'll see how that ends.
Well, again, the good news is we now know we can start doing some things proactively. Lori Lamram, thank you so much. We're just out of time for this morning. I appreciate you being with us.
Thanks, Tony. Have a great day.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best Of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
Get in the zone!
Use your tax refund to do those auto repairs you've been putting off. At AutoZone, we can help make your refund go a long way. From brakes to engines, AutoZone has the quality parts, low prices, and expert advice to help you get your car back in top working order. So don't put it off any longer. Come to AutoZone today and put your tax refund to work before those small repairs become big ones. Because parts are just part of what we do.
Get in the zone!
AutoZone.
Studies show ginkgo biloba improves ankle health.
Make beta-carotene your go-to hydrocarbon.
It's all about the rival.
Cauliflower.
Overwhelmed by having to make smart nutritional choices? Then leave it to Centrum to help you choose. Centrum Complete Multivitamins give you the multiple benefits that matter most to you, like energy, immunity, and metabolism. With Centrum, taking care of your nutrition couldn't be simpler. And now visit newnutritionpossible.com to find the multivitamin and supplement combination that's right for you.
Hey, it's Tony from First Shift. Weekdays from 6 to 9 right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Now time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Riddle. Top story this hour, six Utah police officers were shot last night in the city of Ogden while serving a search warrant. Authorities say one of them has died. CNN's Bill Caiaccio has the story.
The officers were part of a narcotics task force that's trying to stop illegal drug sales. Police say the suspect was also shot and was taken to the hospital for treatment. This continues a disturbing trend of violence against law enforcement officers across the country. There was a 16% increase in the number of police officers who were killed in the line of duty last year compared to 2010. Bill Caiaccio, CNN.
The Pentagon set to outline a new defense strategy today in which it no longer would maintain a military force capable of fighting two major ground wars at the same time. Retired Air Force Colonel Cedric Layton says there's a potential security risk associated with this.
If you advertise that you're not going to be able to fight two simultaneous ground wars, then people will try to take advantage of that. And the people that I'm talking about are possibly China, possibly North Korea.
A 5.3 magnitude earthquake hit the Dominican Republic near the capital Santo Domingo overnight. No reports yet of damage or injuries, but the shaking in the capital said to be significant for about 10 seconds. This happened 2 years after the devastating earthquake in Haiti. A German man arrested in Los Angeles after a string of fires stands charged with 37 counts of arson. L.A. County District Attorney Steve Cooley says prosecutors will go for the maximum sentence.
None of harm he did to the psyche of the citizens of these particular communities and all of Los Angeles County, I think it merits a life term.
Cooley says the arsonist apparently was lashing out at the government's attempts to extradite his mother to Germany to face charges of fraud and embezzlement. According to her spokesman, Argentina's President Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner's cancer surgery was successful. The spokesman says the 3.5-hour operation to remove her thyroid gland went well. Fernandez has been president since 2007. This is CNN Radio.
Now at the Winter Storage Event, the Home Depot has 56-quart Sterilite storage totes for a new lower price of just $5.88 each. These clear totes are durable, stackable, and they hold a lot of stuff. So that New Year's Get Organized resolution you made is pretty much in the bag. Or the tote. Make room for savings right now with 56-quart storage totes for just $5.88 each. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
Congratulations, the job is yours. It felt good to say those words when I hired my first employee, but it was soon followed by, how does a single paycheck generate a mountain of paperwork? Then Lyle, my accountant, said, let's just get Intuit Payroll. It'll make both our lives easier. So I got Intuit Payroll, and now I pay my employees and file tax forms in just a few minutes. And Lyle says things like, you are the payroll queen.
Get a 30-day free trial and learn why over a million small businesses use Intuit Payroll at payroll.com.
Fresh turbulence for American Airlines. The carrier, whose parent company declared bankruptcy last month, once again has scored the lowest in customer satisfaction in a closely watched ranking. The annual Middle Seat Review places American dead last in measures that factor in on-time arrivals, delays, canceled flights, mishandled bags, passengers bumped from flights, and complaints filed with the Department of Transportation. Top-ranked airline with customers is Alaska Airlines. Wall Street is concerning itself with customers on the ground this morning as most of the nation's big store chains report their December sales. A comparable sales gain of more than 4% averaged throughout the industry is expected. Costco already has revealed its December sales at locales open at least a year, up 7%. Sounds good, but it's a bit weaker than expected. Wall Street's third trading day of 2012 could be a bit of a stinker. S&P futures down 10 points, NASDAQ futures down 15. Most of Europe's indexes also are down. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Millions of fans agree. Cable's new hit series is on the Weather Channel.
So let's go!
Coast Guard Alaska.
If we don't get on scene, no one else will.
Fly along on bone-chilling rescues in some of the world's most extreme weather.
If you make a mistake, I'll call someone their life.
Out here, heroes come in waves.
You have the potential to save someone that's out there.
Coast Guard Alaska, Wednesday nights at 9, with new episodes beginning January 11th, only on the Weather Channel.
Congratulations, the job is yours. It felt good to say those words when I hired my first employee, but it was soon followed by, how does a single paycheck generate a mountain of paperwork? Then Lyle, my accountant, said, let's just get Intuit Payroll. It'll make both our lives easier. So I got Intuit Payroll, and now I pay my employees and file tax forms in just a few minutes. And Lyle says things like, you are the payroll queen.
Get a 30-day free trial and learn why over a million small businesses use Intuit Payroll at payroll.com.
One size does not fit all, especially when you're talking about something as important as your mortgage. Hey everybody, Jay Farner here, and I'd like to introduce the Yorgage from Quicken Loans. That's right, the Yorgage. Our Yorgage is better than a traditional mortgage because it conforms to your goals. It's a fixed-rate home loan that allows you to custom design a term that works best for you, anywhere from 8 to 30 years. Let's say you've got 8 years left on your mortgage, and you'll want to refinance to a lower interest rate. Our 8-year fixed Yorgage can help. We keep your term short, and we lower your monthly payment. The rate today in an 8-year fixed Yorgage is an amazing 2.875%, APR 3.5%. Take a few minutes out of your busy day. Call Quicken Loans at 800-401-0027. That's 800-401-0027. Or go to quickenloans.com. The Quicken Loans Yorgage. Everything we do is engineered to amaze.
Individual results may vary. Call for additional cost information.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to First Shift. I'm Jeff Radford, and today I'm bringing you simply the best clips and most recent clips of First Shift with Tony Truppiano. Interviews, segments, thoughts, conversations that have sparked a lot of feedback. We thank you so much for listening and being part of the show, being part of our lives, and we hope you enjoy the show. From all of us to all of you, we hope you have a safe and happy holiday season. But now, on to the clips.
Joining us now from the Council on American Islamic Relations is Dawood Waleed. He is a leading expert on relationships between all peoples, not just those of Muslim faith. He is considered a consummate activist, certainly somebody that understands the plight of those of us that care about relationships that matter, that move society forward. And he joins us today, hopefully, to make some sense of this mess that has been perpetrated by, well, none other than Lowe's stores of all the crazy things, based on a show that's just telling the truth, All American Muslim. I want to thank you for joining us, Dawood. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you very much.
You know, at some level, there's a little bit of insanity that's involved. That we're even having this conversation suggests to me that somebody just doesn't get it.
Yeah, and what's really bizarre, and let me first start off saying, in terms of the bigoted blog, Bare Naked Islam, and as well as the Florida Family Association, we get it that there's always going to be bigots in any society that human beings live in that are trying to marginalize minorities, just be hateful. So we get that. But what we don't get is a corporation such as Lowe's, which touts inclusion and diversity as part of their mantra, their talking points as a corporation, that they would just easily give in to a bunch of bigots and then basically try to give cover to the bigotry. I mean, they claim that the show is so controversial and needs to be discussed in the community and that their advertising shouldn't be behind it, but they signed a contract with TLC to advertise for all 8 episodes of the show for this season, and they knew exactly what they were getting into as far as the content of the show. And then once a few bigots called, it seemed like they value their bigoted callers or their bigoted customers more than civil, right-minded people like you and me.
Yeah, that's cowardice. I mean, you know, we can be nice about it, but there's no need to. And that's just at a basic level, that's just cowardice.
Yeah, it's complete cowardice. And you know, if I can put it into the language of the Occupy movement, and this is what I've said publicly in terms of Lowe's, that Lowe's has basically sided with the 1%, which is the fringe extremists of our society, and they've basically turned their back on the 99%, which are the broader American society overwhelmingly who wants to live in peace and harmony with their neighbors of people of various religions and ethnicities.
Well, you know, it seems to me at a time where, I'll be honest with you, I have not seen All American Muslim because I get up at 2:30 in the morning. I've recorded it, just haven't watched it yet. I'll get to it. But that's not what this is about for me. It's not about watching this. I live in Dearborn Heights. I break bread with people in that community. I have no idea what the show portrays except for what I've read in the paper. And from what I've read in the paper, it's exactly what I've experienced on an everyday basis with Muslims, which are, they're just people that just happen to be living in Dearborn. And that's all it is. That's all it is. It's nothing more than that. So where's the big deal?
Well, the big deal, according to this organization and this other, this blog, Bare Naked Islam, is that they claim that, the show shows, it's propaganda. It only shows good, peaceful Muslims, but it doesn't show the real Muslims who they say are extremists, and, which is kind of laughable, but, the show is, in fact, depicting the everyday lives of Muslims in Dearborn, and that's what the bigots don't want, because the bigots know that if Muslims are shown on national TV as they are, that it will humanize our community and that people in the broader society will see that Muslims have concerns about public safety, about family life, getting married, about football and apple pie and everything else that Americans like of all different ethnicities and religions.
Well, and of course, you know, somebody had sent me an email earlier on in the show and said, you know, Tony, maybe you can ask Dawood Waleed a question for me. When those that say that, when those that criticize what's happening by saying that, you know, they're not showing the truth about Sharia law and that women are oppressed and that these are communities that are oppressive, that it does all of us a disservice. How do you respond to that? I don't really know how to answer that question.
Well, I want to see where this oppression is at in America. It's called All American Muslims. I mean, Suhaila Amon is a personal friend of mine. She's a clerk at a court. We have a Muslim female who wears a headscarf, Charlene Elder, who lives in Dearborn, who's a judge. We have Muslim females who are professors, who are doctors. We have Rashida Tlaib, who is a Muslim female in
the state legislature,
the state rep. Yeah,
absolutely.
Who works on a lot of issues and who's been pushing back against Manny Maroon and the whole bridge issue. So, I mean, I don't understand what oppression of Sharia that's going on that they're talking about. I mean, I think that the Simpsons show, if anyone saw it on Sunday, and there's a clip they can see on YouTube, the Simpsons show, cartoon actually made jest or made fun of this whole notion about Dearborn being under Sharia and oppressing people.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, and as we were saying earlier on in this show, it's been 10 years since September 11th, and I know a lot of this still comes from a fear of the unknown. People think of terrorists, they think of, and unfortunately, they think of Muslims, they think of Islam. And, of course, they're thinking wrong. And here's the problem. If they would just shut their mouths, and I don't mean to be so rude, but if they just shut their mouths, open their eyes, watch this show, what they are going to find is that there's nothing wrong.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong. And then even in pop culture, I guess we have amnesia, but still one of the most famous American athletes living and actually worldwide is American hero presidential freedom medal winner Muhammad Ali, one of the top MCs in the hip-hop industry right now is a Muslim who's openly Muslim, Lupe Fiasco. I think that there's some sort of strange disconnect where we've been placed in a certain frame and people have amnesia, get disconnected from reality.
Well, unfortunately, I just feel like whatever progress we've made, we've not made progress. And that's the disconcerting part of this for me. is that I really thought that at some level we were ready for this show, that we were ready for an honest dialogue, that we were ready to move on, and apparently we're not. And shame on Lowe's for placing the kind of light that they've placed on this issue. Now, they need to wear it. There have been some talk of a boycott. What do we know? As of last night, what do you know?
Well, there are people in the community are saying, just on a grassroots level, they're not going to shop at Lowe's. Across the country, there's been some actions planned already in Maryland and Florida where people plan on actual literal protests in Lowe's. We're not organizing any actual protests in front of stores, but if spontaneous ones come up from the community, we definitely will. We will definitely spread the word about it. But I'd like to also say something very briefly, that people, Americans, but especially in the progressive movement, we need to connect the dots in regards to this Muslim family organization, Pastor Terry Jones, people like State Rep Dave Ejema. It's the same people, many of them Tea Party acolytes, who are attacking Muslims and talking about the Sharia law stuff. They're against immigration reform. They're supporters of Arizona-style immigration bills. I mean, these same type of people have an agenda. When they talk about taking our country back, they want to take our country back to the times when there was no collective bargaining, when there was no labor rights, when this country was not as inclusive, so that they can support their own little selfish interests of a few people who are basically part and supporters of the 1%. And I think we all need to look at this issue in a broader context, not just look at it as a Muslim-only issue or a Muslim-only problem.
And it's not. And I would suggest the people that you've just mentioned are the real anti-Americans. These are the people that want to subvert society. These are the people that want to suppress freedom and have no respect for the First Amendment. And if there's one thing I fight for, among all things I fight for, it's of course the First Amendment. By virtue of the First Amendment alone, it allows me to do what I do on a daily basis. And I take great offense when people try to eat away at that. And certainly the folks that you mentioned would just as soon see me silenced as anybody else. I understand that it's wrong. It's wrong at so many different levels, and I'm just so offended by this. I'm glad to hear you say that, you know, that there is a, you know, although that there's not a nationally organized a boycott of Lowe's, that there is support, of course, if people want to move in that direction. I know that my family will not be shopping at Lowe's. That is for damn certain. And I want to thank you for your time. Know that we are here for you if you should need us. Just know the show is here for you. Feel free to stay connected to us, and we'd be happy to have you back on in the future.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Dawood Waleed, again, with the Council on American-Islamic Relations. Just one of those stories, folks, we're going to keep our eye on. I want to thank him very much for being with us.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best Of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
Recently on First Shift.
Just joining me now is Jerry Persaud, the Senior Vice President of Advancement at Gleaners Community Food Bank.
Probably the single biggest thing that's happening is happening at the federal level now, and that's looking at the food stamp program. In 2006, there were 26.5 million people participating in the food stamp program. Then you had the economic decrease, and in 2011, there were 44.2 million. That's a huge increase in the number of people seeking food help. And so if you cut that program by 10%, the jobs aren't there for people. What are they going to do? That will have a tremendous impact on what's going to happen at our local level.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So what's up? Diggity doll.
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Truppiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Truppiano on Twitter.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits.
including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best Of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
My next guest is somebody that is spending a lot of time right now building coalitions for profoundly important reasons, and I'm going to get to him in just a moment. I want to remind you that a little later on in the hour, as we do every day, we'll be visiting with Occupy Detroit. They're with us 7:50 each and every morning. So you'll want to pay attention to that at 7:50. And then, of course, we've got a little time for open lines. But let me turn my attention now to my next guest. Although we have just had him on the show, between then and now, there was news. And I've talked about this at great length. Joining us now is Brandon Jessup. Brandon, of course, is the executive director of Michigan Forward, the group that is responsible, chiefly responsible, for fighting back Public Act 4, the emergency manager law that is anti-democratic and unconstitutional at every level. So let me first of all welcome my brother Brandon back to the show. Brandon, it's a pleasure to have you on, and Merry Christmas to you, my friend.
Hey, thanks a lot there, Tony. Merry Christmas to you too as well.
You know, I got to tell you, in the short period of time since I had you on, something egregious happened. The Republican legislature said, I don't know, how do I put this? They basically stuck out their middle finger at you, Brandon, and said, we don't care about the good work that you and thousands of others have done in supporting democracy. We're going to go around the system, and we are going to find a way to stifle your efforts. I can't imagine you're a very happy camper about that.
You know what? I'm not a happy camper, and shame on the Michigan Senate, the entire Michigan Senate, for even letting Senate Bill 865 to pass or to come out of committee yesterday, Tony. And just a quick second about 865. It extends the dictator powers that Governor Snyder already was granted under the emergency manager law. So now they put together this skeleton bill to give the governor power to exact a transition board, not to restore democracy, to restore our mayors and city councilmen and other elected officials that we voted into office, but to put in more of his cronies to further extend his control over communities that have fallen to emergency management. And to be honest, Michigan has got to wake up. This is not a Detroit issue. If they're coming for Detroit, they're going to go get West Bloomfield. They'll go get Novi. They'll go get Waterford. It doesn't matter. If they'll come get me, what would they do to you? That's the question of Michigan. And today we're asking all voters across the state, we're activating the hundreds of thousands of voters that have signed our petition to raise hell in the Michigan Senate and to let these folks know that this thing should not pass the Senate floor and don't try to pass it to the House.
Well, and, you know, the other thing they've done is they've attached an appropriations to it, Brandon, and I don't know that people understand the significance of what that means.
Yes, they want to make the Michigan dictator law, the emergency manager law, Public Act 4, amendment-proof, and repeal proof. They want to one. This Senate Bill 865 changes the Public Act number from 4 to whichever number they're at now. So it would invalidate the hundreds of thousands of petitions that we've already had signed. That's their first plan. The second plan, as you said, Tony, is to make it amendment proof. So it's funny, now they want to violate the Haley Act by taxing citizens twice, not only taxing them to pay for the emergency manager that can make upwards to $400,000 a year, almost four times what any elected official what your local elected official would make, and also tax you again to hire up to seven more people on this advisory board for an indefinite amount of time. This advisory board that Senate Bill 865 allows the governor to put in place a board for an indefinite amount of time to replace your city council and your mayor, to dictate how your public dollars will be spent, to dictate who gets the contract, the public contract, and who doesn't. So this is now privatizing our communities for long periods of time, farther past emergency management, never getting us out of debt, and keeping us silent in how our country and our communities operate.
Yeah.
You gotta stand up for democracy today.
Yeah, absolutely, and that has to happen today. Well, I said that in my introduction about building coalitions. You've been exceptionally good about building coalitions. Talk a little bit about those coalitions and what you folks are doing collectively to fight this.
Well, we're activating all of our membership. The Michigan Educators Association, AFSCME Council 25, UAW, the vast amount of churches that we've found now joining on board, calling their congregations. This is not just a labor issue. And Tony, I'm glad you brought up the fact of how broad and how deep our coalition is. Over the last 10 days, I can't stop. My phone broke, shut down on me because of the amount of phone calls that I got from churches and community leaders across this state that want to sign a petition, get a petition, to repeal Public Act 4 and to stand up for democracy. So I really hope that the Michigan Senate and the Michigan House is prepared for what's coming to them, because if they thought April was bad, it would be very bad over the next few months around this legislation, especially if they attempt to continue with their process on Senate Bill 865.
All right. Well, what can we do as citizens first? I mean, do we just need to start picking up the phones and calling our senators and telling them enough's enough?
Absolutely. Call your senator. Tell him enough is enough. Call Senator Pavlov, who represents St. Clair and Lapeer counties. Tell him that do not disenfranchise the voice of 160-some-odd-thousand plus voters who signed to vote on Public Act 4. Don't disenfranchise the communities that are already under emergency management. And don't disenfranchise and don't attempt to circumvent democracy for the gain of greedy corporate CEOs. Also, we need to call our governor, tell the governor not to sign Senate Bill 865, not to touch Public Act 4 anymore. Email them, fax them, clog up the phone lines, clog up the email, and really, on top of that, continue to sign and gather petition signatures for Public Act 4 so we can put it on the ballot November 2012. We're pushing past our goal of 250,000 signers. We're going to get that, and the movement is building. Join the movement, get involved. You can find information at michiganforward.org. You can call our office to volunteer at 866-306-5168. And today we're having a press conference with our congressional leaders and some of our state representatives and senators, not only against Senate Bill 865, but to call on our Michigan delegation to Congress to intervene and to sit down and talk with Governor Snyder about his actions against voter rights, against due process, and against democracy.
Well, there's no question, as you know, as a citizen of this great state, that you should be offended. You know, we talked about this on the show yesterday. We've talked about this issue a lot the last few days. And, you know, the one thing that is crystal clear is the polling shows the majority of people, and not the majority of Democrats, the majority of people don't want PA4, Brandon. They just don't want it.
Yes, absolutely. 60% of voters across this state in northern Michigan. That's the areas that aren't Detroit, not Saginaw, not Flint. They say that public act 4 goes too far, that it takes away their voting rights, and they believe in having self-determination in their local governments and local communities. What is Governor Snyder not getting? I know what he's not getting. He's not the soft nerd that you thought he was. He's a dictator that we know he is. Over 550,000 voters in this state know about the dictatorship and the attitude that Governor Snyder takes amongst communities that power this state, that puts this state forward. So now, let's get rid of the whole nerd terminology and start calling Governor Snyder what he really is a big business dictator that we have got to get out of office.
Well, there's no question that we don't have the same, we don't share the same values of this governor, we don't share the same vision of this governor, and although we do have communities that are stressed financially, the answer is not to take away the democratic process and to force an agenda upon us that we cannot that is just beyond unpalatable. It seems to me, Brandon, and we'll close with this. It seems to me that this governor needs to be sent this message. And if the people of the state of Michigan, the people listening to us right now, do not understand how important this issue is, and they do not strike out today, they may not get a chance to ever strike out again.
Absolutely. These changes that Governor Snyder is making to voting rights, to the voice of the people, to democracy in the state of Michigan, these last generations, they don't just last over time, over 2 or 3 years, it's just 6 months, as some of these ultra-conservatives would like you to believe. Where's the Tea Party on this issue? They're silent. You know why? Because they support takeover.
Absolutely.
They support takeover. They support takeover. And that's a travesty that Michigan has now become a Mississippi.
Now, Brandon, you hang in there. You know that yes, we're sir. There for you. Thank you for the update. You just let us know when you need back on. You're back on. We got to take a quick break. Thank you, brother. Merry Christmas.
All right. Now, thank you. Merry Christmas to you. And let's bring democracy home this Christmas for the state of Michigan.
Absolutely. We'll take a break.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
And joining us now is Cheryl Witten, the president of the Michigan Advisory Board for Blessings in a Backpack.
Blessings in a Backpack is a national organization. This teacher was concerned because she had kids in her school who came back from the weekend tired and hungry and by no means ready to learn. These children are on the free and reduced lunch program during school week, but no one thought, what happens to these children when they go home on Friday? So came up with the very simple idea, let's pack a backpack with food to take home with them on Friday, and they would return their backpack on Monday to be refilled.
All right, so if I contact Blessings in a Backpack, MI.org, how do I get involved?
There is a page to make a donation, and then we as the Michigan Board will determine where the greatest need is.
Blessings in a Backpack, MI.org.
Great news, people. A hot spot of non-spotted ladybugs has been spotted in Amagansett, New York. This uplifting story is a rich organic mixture of state pride, nature's resilience, America's scientific pluck, teamwork, serendipity, and bug love. In today's hard times, we need this. Let's start with the bug. This ladybug is the classic Cochinellidae beetle with exactly 9 black spots on its red back. A benevolent and delightful creature, it's beloved by everyone from children to farmers. So beloved that it is the official insect of New York State. Sadly, and somewhat embarrassingly, however, this state official has bugged out of the state. The last recorded sighting of this ladybug species in New York was 29 years ago. Apparently a victim of competition from imported Asian and European ladybug species, as well as pesticides and the loss of habitat, only 90 of the native 9 spotteds have been seen in all of North America in the past decade. But since 2000, a team of diligent Cornell University entomologists and volunteers have kept up the search through Cornell's Lost Ladybug Project. The searchers persisted, even when New York's legislators tried in 2006 to abandon the bug that seemingly had abandoned the state. Luckily, though, legislative inertia killed that effort to replace the state insect, and the Ladybug Project kept faith and kept looking. Then, this summer, lo and behold, a volunteer spotted one sitting pretty as you please in a patch of sunflowers on an organic farm in Amagansett. About 20 more were subsequently found on the farm amidst rows of carrots, beans, and flowers, enough for the project to establish a reproducing colony, while also building confidence that more will be discovered. This is Jim Hightower saying, to keep up with this bit of good bug news, go to lostladybug.org. Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, hightowerlowdown.org.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best Of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
I want to welcome you back. As we have been talking about from the very beginning of this show, there is a situation out in Garden City that we need your help with, and I'm going to get to my guest here in just a moment. I want you to be mindful that, you know, these wonderful teachers out in Garden City have been working without a contract since August of this year. This is a story that deserves some telling, which is why I have the guest that I have today, and we're going to allow her to do that. What I ask of all of you is to pay particular attention to the details. The facts in this case matter. And I think that once you hear out what Julie has to say, you'll understand why this really picked my interest in the way it did. Joining us now is the president of the Garden City Education Association and a committed teacher, which is why she's on at this time and not in the 7 o'clock hour, because she wants to teach today. And she didn't want to take time away from the classroom to do that, because normally, folks, you know, I don't have guests this early, but happy to have her. Julie Naughton, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Tony. I really appreciate you taking up our cause.
Well, you know, it is our cause. I think anybody that cares about education, no matter where you live, no matter where your children go to school, or perhaps you don't have children, or your grandchildren went to school, doesn't matter. This is our cause, Julie Naughton, and it's our cause because, you know, at a very real level, you know, your way of living as a teacher, your way of life as a teacher, I should say, is being threatened by, in my opinion, an administration and a superintendent that has lied and deceived themselves into a situation. And now, as we're going to find out with the very first topic we're going to talk about, which is an insurance option that needs to be dealt with, they are threatening, again, people's livelihoods by making a non-decision, Julie, and we can't allow that to happen.
Correct. The school board needs to vote on a board resolution if we were to pay 20% of our health care, if we were supposed to have a 20% contribution. If, in fact, they take no action, it will default to a hard cap.
All right. For those that don't understand what a hard cap is, explain that or define that for us, Julie.
Well, the school district will be required to pay a limited amount for each of the insurance categories. For instance, for a family, the school district would only be able to pay $15,000 towards that person's coverage, when in fact that insurance costs well over $20,000, the employee would be responsible for the difference.
Without a choice is what I'm hearing you say.
Absolutely.
So this would actually be almost a tax on your income.
Absolutely. It would absolutely be, it's a salary reduction, bottom line.
All right, and so there, but there is an option, right? You have something called an 80-20 program, which would be, it sounds to me, a much more affordable option for your members. Is that correct?
It is cheaper than the hard cap. As far as affordable, I wouldn't go that far.
Fair enough. Fair enough. That's fair enough. But you know, certainly it would be less expensive to your membership. That's safe to say.
Yes, it would be. It would be. It's still going to be a financial burden. We have administrators. Every other employee group will be paying 10% or less of their health care contributions, whereas the minimum that we would be paying would be 20%. And to me, that's just punitive.
Well, it is punitive, but, you know, I guess I have to ask the question, doesn't the legislature have something to do with what you pay? If I understand correctly, they are mandating a 20% participation.
They are. If you did not have a contract ratified by September 15th, of 2011, then when your plan year begins in 2012, that's when you would have to pay the increased amount, which in this case, it's going to be the hard cap if the school board takes no action.
All right. Now, my understanding, Julie, is that you have one more board meeting, which is on December 19th. That is correct?
We do.
All right.
Now, 7 p.m.
All right. Before we get to that, though, there's a town hall meeting tonight that Superintendent Michelle Klein is hosting at the Garden City Middle School. Correct?
Yes, there is.
All right. And we're asking people actually to show up to that tonight. But if they can't, we really need them to show up on Monday.
We do. We need people there to encourage our board members to actually vote on a resolution and to vote yes.
No, look, ultimately, of course, that's, you know, that's what what's really interesting to me. And I guess, you know, I'll let you stick to the facts and I'll stick to the opinions. How's that? I really feel, Julie, you don't even need to agree with me. I'm just saying I feel like that the Garden City Education Association has been lied to repeatedly. I feel like especially knowing what I know, and we've not given out the whole story yet, and we will get to more of this, but knowing what I know, I know that's true. I know that they have been less than forthcoming with you. As far as the administrators and the superintendent, do they all have contracts as we speak?
Yes, they do.
And is it my understanding, Julie, that they actually gave themselves raises, although they didn't call them raises, they in effect gave themselves an increase in their pay?
Well, their salary is set in their contract, and at the end of the year, they get a deferred payment.
Which is their way of calling that's what they're calling their raises. They're just calling it a deferred payment.
That's true.
Now, is it also true that they made this decision behind closed doors and in essence violated the Open Meetings Act?
Actually, that did happen. On September 14th, there were four board members out of seven present, and they came to the to a special board meeting to vote on three individual contracts. And when the board members, when the board members got to the meeting, some of them were questioning what they were even voting on. And then it was suggested that they go into a closed meeting, and they did that. And for individual contracts, that does violate the Open Meetings Act.
Now, does the date have any significance, September 14th?
Absolutely. The deadline for having a ratified contract was September 15th, so they did it in the 11th hour.
And they did it behind closed doors and, in essence, gave themselves raises and, of course, made sure that their insurance, their contribution would be at 10%, correct?
Correct.
All right. So they took good care of themselves. Everybody else in the building, by the way, everybody else in the buildings have contracts besides the teachers?
Yes, every employee group and every individual, that's what I'm understanding, that everyone else does have a contract.
All right, so we have two issues here, folks. And this is what I need you to understand. We have two issues. Most immediately, on December 19th, the school board will meet for the last time this year, and they need to vote on what they're going to do with regard to teachers' health insurance. And that vote, either way, is going to cost teachers a lot of money, but one is going to be really punitive. That would be the hard cap. Then the second issue is, Julie Naughton, you folks need a contract.
We do.
Are they not negotiating? I don't understand. You know, you've been without a contract since August, and I just don't understand what's going on.
Well, in January, we began negotiations. The school district was projecting a $3.2 million deficit by the end of June. We continued to negotiate, and that number kept going down. So we're trying to negotiate with accurate numbers. By June, it wasn't projected anymore. They were saying that their deficit was at $131,000.
So it went from $3.2 million to $131,000.
Correct, but that was soft numbers. That was soft numbers because the books weren't closed. So they were still saying that we were in deficit. With that, this November, the actual date was November 11th, they called me into a meeting to inform me that, in fact, we had over a $3 million fund equity.
So you had a surplus of over $3 million.
Correct.
All right, so at some point, folks, let's do the math, that's a $6 million error? I don't know what to call it. But it's $6 million. If you take minus 3 plus 3, there's $6 million there, Julie. I got to ask you at some point, and to me it sounds like incompetence is involved, but how do you not know that you have $3 million plus that you didn't know you had?
Tony, I can't answer that question.
All right, I want to ask you to just stay with us. We've got to take a quick break here. Julie Naughton is my guest. Folks, again, it should be clear what we need to do here, but when we get back, we'll be very specific about what we're asking you to do.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best Of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is Jerry Persaud, the Senior Vice President of Advancement at Gleaners Community Food Bank.
Probably the single biggest thing that's happening is happening at the federal level now, and that's looking at the food stamp program. In 2006, there were 26.5 million people participating in the food stamp program. Then you had the economic decrease, and in 2011, there were 44.2 million. That's a huge increase in the number of people seeking food help. And so if you cut that program by 10%, the jobs aren't there for people. What are they going to do? That will have a tremendous impact on what's going to happen at our local level.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages.
wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Hi, Tony Truffiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
My guest, Julie Naughton, she is the president of the Garden City Education Association. If you are just joining us, these teachers, the very dedicated, wonderful teachers at Garden City, in the Garden City School District, have been working without a contract since September. Their contract expired in August. They have been showing up every day doing their job. There's no question that's true. Julie invited me out to their membership meeting on Monday where I had a chance to meet and experience what was going on. They're very, you know, again, amazing, passionate group of people, you know, that spoke from a place of purpose. And ultimately, like everybody, Julie, the teachers want a contract so that they don't have that diversion. But it's not like, and they were all very clear on Monday night that their first priority is students. And I think at some level, and this is just my opinion, Julie, that the administration and the school board takes advantage of the fact that these teachers are so dedicated to the kids, that they're showing up and doing what they're supposed to do, even though they don't have a contract.
They are, each and every day. We're in the classroom, and Tony, I gotta tell you, we're in the classroom with more students than ever before. Actually, they increased our class sizes, and they did it. They did not negotiate that. It's a negotiable issue, and they decided to increase the class size because they couldn't balance the budget.
Okay, a budget that they end up having a surplus on, and listen, all these teachers are looking for is a fair and equitable contract. All right, so first things first, let me make this clear. Tonight there's a town hall meeting. So if I get any of this wrong, Julie, you can correct me, but this is how I understand it. Tonight there's a town hall meeting at Garden City Middle School. It's at 7 p.m., and the superintendent, whose name is Michelle Klein, will be there. And we're asking people to show up and ask questions. We'll give you some suggested questions here in just a moment. So if you could show up and support the Garden City teachers in that way, that would be appreciated. That's issue number one. Did I get all that right, Julie?
You did. It's located at 1851 Radcliffe in Garden City.
Okay. And now, on Monday night, December 19th, this is critical. There is a school board meeting where they have one last opportunity to do the right thing and provide at least a little safer, more comfortable measure of insurance protection with regard to cost by voting for the 80-20 program as opposed to not voting and defaulting in the hard cap, which will be, as Julie said, both of them are punitive, but the hard cap would be very punitive. I got all that right, Julie?
Yes.
All right. Now, there is a couple other things, folks, you can do. If you go to our Facebook page at First Shift, you'll see that the Garden City Education Association has provided a link to the Garden City Public Schools. on the on that website, you're going to see on the left-hand side something that says contact us. I would like you folks that can't make it to a meeting to go to this website and send an email. You can do it right on their website. Send an email to them explaining why you're writing. And you let them know that you want them to vote for the 80-20 insurance program and you want these teachers to have a contract. Now, if enough of us do that, we're going to get their attention. They need to know that there's now outside interest in what's happening in their district in order to help them. And I assure you, if enough of us either show up or call, and of course you can call the numbers, phone numbers right there on the website, so you can do that as well. Just ask for Michelle Klein. They'll put your call through. They need to know that there's some outside pressure. They need to know that people are paying attention. Now, Julie has written a letter to the editor that's going to be in the local paper today. And then, of course, she's doing this interview now. And all of this is about, you know, garnering interest and support for the teachers. At the end of the day, that's what this is about, folks. That's all that this is about, is garnering support for the teachers. I got all that right. All right, Julie?
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Okay. So we just want, you know, we want people to understand that once and for all, you have a voice in how the Garden City teachers' future will look. And I don't care whether or not you're inside the district. It doesn't matter. They need to understand that they cannot be allowed to get away with violating the Open Meetings Act, with negotiating through the media, which, by the way, is illegal to do. Which is something Michelle Klein did. Michelle Klein is a monster, you guys. Now, this is, again, my opinion, not Julie's opinion. Julie has nothing to do with what I'm about to say here. After reading what I've read, after meeting these teachers, after doing my own fact-finding, which I did, Michelle Klein is a monster. She is the worst kind of administrator because she took care of herself first and neglected the most important component in the school, which is the teachers. You heard Julie Naughton say that every other employee group that has contracts has one. You saw that by violating the Open Meetings Act, they protected administrators in the building by giving them contracts that they said that they couldn't afford to do, and they certainly say they can't afford to do it for teachers, yet they did it for these administrators. This is the worst kind of public servant, because they're not serving the public. They're self-serving, period. Now, they've taken care of themselves, and we just cannot allow this to happen. And I don't care what your political leanings are. There's something seriously wrong when we are talking about the one most valued resource in education. The teacher is ignored, and they're being ignored in Garden City. We can't let that happen. Julie, we only have a couple minutes left. Let me give you an opportunity to address the audience. Anything else that you want to add?
You know, our teachers, they want to be able to go to their classrooms, work with their students. They want to be able to support their own families. We're not asking for anything other than what we deserve. We know that these are bad economic times. Our proposals have been reasonable. The insurance, the hard cap, is something that will be a major financial burden, and especially on our single parents with one child. Now, the school district, Tony, let me clarify this. The school district is saying, oh, well, we're not sure how they're going to be covered. It doesn't matter. If it's a hard cap, these people, this particular group will be paying over $5,000 for insurance. If it's the 80-20, it's going to be right around $3,000. It's a $2,000 difference for a single parent with a child. So in and of that fact, we need all the help we can get. We need to really push this school board to vote yes on this 80-20.
All right, Julie, we've got a break for the top of the hour. I want to thank you. I know you need to get to the classroom. Julie will be back with us until we get this resolved, because we're going to be doing this together. They wanted to drink in public. We'll make it public. That's fine. They don't get to hide. Julie, thank you so much. We'll be in touch, I promise.
Thank you, and our teachers thank your audience, too, and you for your support. And thanks for making us the word of the day.
Yeah, teachers, absolutely. Teachers are the word of the day. All right, we got to take a quick break here.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic and the ladies loved you. Now you're tired, moody, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Try Ageless Male, a supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain normal levels. Feel that energy again and a healthy sex drive. Call to try Ageless Male risk-free. 1-800-715-3475. 1-800-715-3475. 1-800-715-3475.
I'm Rocky Moselle with StarRegistry.com. Since we were children, we've been told to reach for the stars. It was great advice. Now it's a great gift. Name a star after someone. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit StarRegistry.com, we will name a star after someone very special to you and send an incredible personalized gift. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit StarRegistry.com for the hottest gift.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Top story this hour, a police officer has died after he and five of his colleagues were shot in Ogden, Utah last night while trying to serve a search warrant. The others were sent to a hospital. A suspect also was wounded. Nearby resident Skylar Campbell heard the shooting.
What we heard was like three pop-pops. We thought they were fireworks at one, and then we just sat and kind of like were stunned. And then we heard multiple rapid fire from high-powered. Just goes, you know, it was just loud.
Newt Gingrich says he will stay positive in his presidential campaign, but he's willing to play hardball now that the scene has shifted to the New Hampshire primary coming up next week. CNN's Bob Costantini is there and joins us live with more on the former speaker's desire to hit back at Iowa caucus winner Mitt Romney. Bob?
Well, Jim, Mitt Romney got the John McCain endorsement in New Hampshire Wednesday, despite the fact the two went after each other here 4 years ago. Gingrich, meanwhile, is contesting the Granite State, still smarting from all the negative ads run against him by Romney backers in Iowa. Speaking in Concord, Gingrich maintains Romney is not devoted to the party's tenets.
He'll do fairly well here, but the fact is that Governor Romney, in the end, has a very limited appeal in a conservative party.
In fact, Gingrich ran a newspaper ad here Wednesday calling Romney a Massachusetts moderate unsuited for the party's nomination. Jim?
Secretary Leon Panetta is expected to unveil a new military policy today for the U.S., one that'll end the longstanding position that the U.S. should be able to conduct two ground wars at once, if necessary. It's a way of dealing with budget cutbacks. More bombings in Iraq, more deaths, this time attacks in Baghdad killed at least 24 people and wounded dozens more. Former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert has been indicted on charges of seeking bribes in some real estate projects. A former mayor of Jerusalem and a former chairman of one of Israel's major banks also were indicted. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal, and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. We're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free, get two free gifts, and free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. Visit GetProactive.com or call 1-800-644-2829. That's 1-800-644-2829.
I'm a teacher, and my kids keep me going all day. My feet needed help. I was using a gel insole when I heard about the ProFoot 2-Ounce Miracle Insole.
Only the 2-Ounce Miracle is made with custom-forming VitaFoam to keep your feet steady and comfortable. The 2-Ounce Miracle Insoles conform to the unique shape of your feet, just like custom orthotics. Plus, they cushion and support your feet for amazing comfort.
The lightweight 2-Ounce Miracle Insoles really help my feet.
Try the ProFoot 2-Ounce Miracle Insole, available at Walgreens, Rite Aid, and other fine stores.
We now have the first of three important readings of U.S. employment.
all before Wall Street's opening bell. HR firm Challenger Gray & Christmas has revealed that corporate job cut announcements for December totaled 41,785. That's a decrease from November's reading and is the lowest level since June. This morning, most of the nation's biggest retail chains are posting their sales totals from December. Analysts expect a comparable sales gain of 4 to 4.5% across the business. We've heard from Costco so far. Costco sales at locales open at least a year rose 7% last month. That's weaker than expected. Limited Brands, parent of Victoria's Secret, also reports so-called same-store sales increased 7% last month, and that's stronger than expected. Big jump for Pier 1 Imports. The chain says sales at stores open at least a year rose more than 11% in December. U.S. stock futures right now are down. S&P futures falling 9, NASDAQ futures down 12. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Millions of fans agree. Cable's new hit series is on the Weather Channel.
So let's go!
Coast Guard Alaska.
If we don't get on scene, no one else will.
Fly along on bone-chilling rescues in some of the world's most extreme weather.
If you make a mistake, it'll cost someone their life.
Out here, heroes come in waves.
You have the potential to save someone that's out there.
Coast Guard Alaska, Wednesday nights at 9, with new episodes beginning January 11th, only on the Weather Channel.
Congratulations, the job is yours. It felt good to say those words when I hired my first employee, but it was soon followed by, how does a single paycheck generate a mountain of paperwork? Then Lyle, my accountant, said, let's just get Intuit Payroll. It'll make both our lives easier. So I got Intuit Payroll, and now I pay my employees and file tax forms in just a few minutes. And Lyle says things like, you are the payroll queen.
Get a 30-day free trial and learn why over a million small businesses use Intuit Payroll at payroll.com.
One size does not fit all, especially when you're talking about something as important as your mortgage. Hey everybody, Jay Farner here, and I'd like to introduce the Yorgage from Quicken Loans. That's right, the Yorgage. Our Yorgage is better than a traditional mortgage because it conforms to your goals. It's a fixed-rate home loan that allows you to custom design a term that works best for you, anywhere from 8 to 30 years. Let's say you've got 8 years left on your mortgage and you want to refinance to a lower interest rate. Our 8-year fixed Yorgage can help. We keep your term short and we lower your monthly payment. The rate today in an 8-year fixed Yorgage is an amazing 2.875%, APR 3.5%. Take a few minutes out of your busy day. Call Quicken Loans at 800-401-0027. That's 800-401-0027. Or go to quickenloans.com. The Quicken Loans Yorgage. Everything we do is engineered to amaze.
Individual results may vary. Call for additional cost information.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to First Shift. I'm Jeff Radford, and today I'm bringing you simply the best clips and most recent clips of First Shift with Tony Truffiano. Interviews, segments, thoughts, conversations that have sparked a lot of feedback. We thank you so much for listening and being part of the show, being part of our lives, and we hope you enjoy the show. From all of us to all of you, we hope you have a safe and happy holiday season. But now, on to the clips.
The Michigan Democratic Party chairman,
Mark Brewer. They're partying on Mackinac Island this weekend. The fate of our school kids, our police and firefighters, our unemployed is hanging in the balance. But do the Republicans care about that? No. They'd rather party on the island and get their job done in Lansing.
It's time for Monday Mornings with Mark Brewer.
And we do welcome back to First Shift. Actually, for the last time in 2011, the chairman of the Democratic Party himself, Mr. Mark Brewer. Mark, welcome back. Happy holidays to you.
Same to you, Tony. Glad to be with you, as always.
Well, we do appreciate it. Kind of, naughty and nice list today, Mark. For some people, one of the real gifts of 2012, especially for about 60,000 young people in the state of Michigan, thanks to the Affordable Care Act, is the gift of health insurance, Mark.
No, that's right, Tony. I mean, as the Affordable Care Act kicks into effect and it transitions into effect over the course of time, this year has been a great year for young people all across the country, as well as here in Michigan, who previously couldn't get health insurance coverage. The law now requires that they be provided coverage on their parents' policies through age, I think it's 26, if necessary. And a report issued last week demonstrated the great impact that this had across the country. Here in Michigan, 60,000 young people now have health insurance that didn't have it before. So, again, one of the ongoing achievements and accomplishments of the Affordable Care Act.
Well, you know, and again, Mark, we stop and take a look at that. You know, I don't know if we can put or if we have a number to put on that. But I don't know that the number matters because ultimately we know that now there are 60,000 young people, but, you know, we'll equate that to 120,000 parents that breathe a little easier knowing that even their children that are young adults are taken care of. Because this market, let's be honest about it, was a serious concern for a lot of people that had, you know, adult children that were not covered, and it became a serious issue.
Oh, yeah, Tony, and people say, well, you know, young people, they don't get sick. They don't need insurance. That's not true. You know, illness, sickness happens to all of us, and people need to have insurance. The basic premise of this act is that everybody should have insurance. You know, when the act took effect pretty much immediately, Tony, the right of insurance companies or their ability of insurance companies to deny people coverage for pre-existing conditions went out the window. That's now illegal. And that helped, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people throughout the country get access to insurance. Now we see this with young people, these health insurance exchanges, which will enable people to do some comparison shopping and find the best policy, the best price for themselves, they're coming. So the benefits from the Affordable Care Act, even though they don't get much publicity, keep rolling out, and it's been a great benefit to people throughout the country.
All right. Well, we know that to be a gift, Mark, but we do know that some people, on the other hand, got a lump of coal, whether they wanted it or not, thanks to Congressman Dave Camp, who led the charge to slash unemployment benefits. Again, Mark, at a time when no matter how much and how badly people want to get back to work, there just aren't enough jobs, Mark.
No, I mean, this is just, I'd say it's unbelievable, Tony, but on the other hand, we've seen this time after time over the last year. Yeah, Dave Camp's proposal last week, which actually passed the House, Democrats voted against it, Republicans in the U.S. House voted for it, would cut unemployment benefits, Tony, by over a year. You can imagine that. This is not trimming a few weeks or doing that kind of stuff. A year's worth of benefits in the worst economy, the worst recession since the Great Depression. It's just unbelievable how callous and hard-hearted people can be. And again, you and I have talked about this before when it comes to unemployment benefits. It's not just that, you know, you're helping people keep a roof over their heads, keep their kids fed, keep themselves clothed. This money has a stimulating effect on the economy. People who are unemployed don't stick that money in a bank. They don't stick it under the mattress. They spend it, and that helps everybody else in the community as well. So it just boggles the mind that Republicans would even consider, let alone vote for, such a dramatic cut in unemployment benefits.
Well, you know, and of course, we know that this president and this Congress is focused on trying to provide the best possible extension of benefits to people. We know that. Ultimately, they're trying to create an atmosphere of jobs. We also know that the Republicans, both at the state level, Mark, and at the federal level, are hell-bent on doing the exact opposite. They don't want to provide the kind of extensions that we need. They don't want to create legislation that creates jobs. And in fact, all we've really seen out of the state legislature and from the federal government are those kinds of job-killing proposals and those kinds of vision that don't count in the middle class. And in fact, Mark, at the greatest time in the history of this country, we see more attention being paid to the 1% than we've ever seen in the history of this country.
No, that's absolutely right, Tony. And even as Camp and the Republicans in Washington were doing that damage last week here in Michigan, the Michigan legislature passed a bill to, quote, reform our unemployment insurance. Whenever you hear that word out of a Republican, you know, hang on to your wallet. It's terrible. One of the worst features of it, Tony, is that your benefits can be reduced by what we would call virtual or imaginary jobs. If there are jobs that you could get or that you could work at, even if they're not available, they can reduce your benefits by that amount. Now, it's really ironic, Tony. We always hear Republicans complaining about of Democrats and progressives are in favor of redistributing income, right? That's the big rap on us, that we'd like to redistribute it. Well, as you just pointed out, over the last year, what's been going on, I think, is cuts in public education. There's a theme that ties all of this together, and it's this massive transfer of wealth from the 99% to the 1%.
You know, Mark, I guess at some level, and maybe it's my own naivete, I'll admit that right now. But I'm wondering what they ultimately expect to happen. At what point, Mark, does the rest of us, to that 99%, finally say we've had enough? At what point do the Republicans not think that we're not paying attention, that we don't see what they're doing? I mean, are they just trying to take advantage of us while they know they have enough votes? I'm talking more, at the state level now, but this is disgusting.
Yeah, no, I think that is right, Tony. I mean, they're certainly taking advantage while they've got it. They continue to espouse this philosophy that somehow all of this is going to create jobs. We know it doesn't. It never has in the past. It's not creating jobs now, this massive transfer of wealth to the wealthy. They're not spending it on creating jobs. There were reports in recent weeks about, continued abuses on Wall Street with, just obscene and excessive bonus payments and wages and salaries paid to those folks. So we know exactly where this money's going. It's not going to create jobs, but they are trying to take advantage, and it's up to folks like you and me and a lot of others to keep pointing this out and, drive toward making some changes when it comes to the elections in less than a year.
You know, Mark, I was reading, I was telling the audience at the top of the show, the Detroit Free Press is doing a series this week on homeless children, and it's really been, and I read yesterday's and I read this morning's, and it's really been an eye-opener. And I stop and I think about the current legislature that we have, and I wonder if they read the paper, if they talk to the average voter, if they understand what they have created and the devastation that it's having on communities all over the state of Michigan. You know, Mark, there are people that find themselves in a situation that they never thought they would find themselves in. There are people that, at one time had really good middle class income jobs that are now living week to week or month to month. To read the stories of these school-aged children that are having to, live this way, it's just unfathomable to me. And then you wonder, at some level, does this legislature not read the same thing you and I read? Do they not understand that they have a responsibility to all of us, not just some of us?
I don't think they do, Tony. I mean, I think there's several things going on here. A lot of these folks, of course, they played by the rules their entire lives, right? They paid their taxes. They did all the things that they were supposed to do as responsible citizens. And in their time of need, the Republicans turned their back on them.
Mark, let me ask you to hold right there, because we've got to get to the break. We'll pick it up right there, because they have turned their back on them. And, in fact, at the end of last week, we can give plenty of examples how they did just that. Mark Brewer, my guest, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. Again, this is First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW. Stay where you're at. We will be right back.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
And joining us now is Cheryl Witten, the president of the Michigan Advisory Board for Blessings in a Backpack.
Blessings in a Backpack is a national organization. This teacher was concerned because she had kids in her school who came back from the weekend tired and hungry and by no means ready to learn. These children are on the free and reduced lunch program during school week, but no one thought, what happens to these children when they go home on Friday? So came up with the very simple idea, let's pack a backpack with food to take home with them on Friday, and they would return their backpack on Monday to be refilled.
All right, so if I contact Blessings in a Backpack, MI.org, how do I get involved?
There is a page to make a donation, and then we as the Michigan Board will determine where the greatest need is.
Blessingsinabackpackmi.org.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
All of Michigan's top newsmakers talk to Tony Trupiano.
Joining us now is Debbie Stabenow.
Good morning, Tony. It's always great to be with you.
Former Michigan Congressman Mark Schauer.
It's great to be with you, Tony.
Cindy Estrada joins us.
Thank you for having me.
State Representative Harvey Santana. You're a rock star, Bert Bernero.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. You're too kind, Tony.
And my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark. Welcome to First Shift.
Tony, it's great to be on your show.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 on 1310 WDTW.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best Of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
Mark Brewer is my guest, and we're getting ready to wrap up our interview with Mark. It's our year-end with him, unfortunately, but we've got lots of stuff to come in 2012. Mark, I am going to ask you to kind of look back at 2011 here in just a minute, but let's wrap up our thoughts as we're going to break. You know, you said something that really kind of keyed my interest, that the Republicans are turning their backs on the average Michigander. And, you know, I wonder, Mark, if they actually had to face these people, I mean literally face them, what they would say. Looking at some of the legislation that they put forward at the end of the legislative session last week, it makes you wonder if they live in a realistic world at all, if they ever have to be face to face with the people that vote, because you can't imagine they honestly believe that and then vote the way they vote, Mark.
No, Tony, I think they do. They really do believe that it's your own fault if you're unemployed, if you're homeless, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's the ideology that is supporting all of this, that it's these people's fault that they don't have jobs, et cetera. Now, again, it's just mind-boggling. It ignores the reality of what's going on throughout Michigan, but that, I think, is what is sustaining this attack. All the things we've seen this year, blaming people for things that are not their fault, the things that have happened to them, and having absolutely a complete lack of compassion, lack of charity.
Well, you know, it's interesting whether, you know, let me just take an issue. The charter schools, lifting the cap on charter schools. Now, people will say, well, you know, why would you choose that issue? Well, you know, Mark, they basically have continued to ignore students. They are punishing students. They're punishing teachers and not taking care of students. Why would we lift the cap on charter schools without dealing with the real issues, which is quality education? And it makes no sense to me to solve a problem that didn't exist.
Oh, that's right. But again, but that's what happens, Tony, when you're driven by ideology and the facts are completely irrelevant. You know, we have charter schools in this state that have terrible quality problems. Democrats and others attempted to add quality measures, quality standards to that legislation last week. That got ignored. It's like, wait a second. I thought this was about quality schools for our kids. You're about to empower for-profit corporations that are interested in making money, people who are just interested in running a school without regard to the quality of education that they provide, and you're going to let them do that? You're going to let these charter mills in this state, and sadly there are a couple of them out there, Tony, that just grant these charters and provide no oversight, no ongoing supervision of that school, and you're going to subject our kids to that? And the Republican answer is, yes, we don't care.
And they don't care. I mean, that is one of the realities. Okay, so Mark, if I were to tell you that when the 2011 began, we knew that we had, you know, as Democrats, we knew that we had an interesting year coming. Did you ever think, Mark, in your wildest dreams, that it would turn into the year that it turned into?
No. I mean, look, You know, we knew the Republicans had the right-wing agenda that the Tea Party was driving for us. But, you know, there was some hope at the beginning of the year that Snyder was a moderate, where there would be some restraint there. But, in fact, we've seen no restraint. Tony, he has proposed and signed legislation that John Engler never even proposed or considered when he was governor 10 years ago. He does it with a smile. You know, he does it with platitudes and so forth. But believe me, the quality of government that we're getting out of the state government, particularly in this last year, is far worse than what the state endured under John Engler. Hard to imagine, but that's exactly what the last year has seen.
Yeah, you know, you're right. And you know, for people that weren't following government back in the Engler years, there's actually the point is actually made there. As bad as things were, there was still, from time to time, an opportunity to have a real dialogue. Not all the time, Mark, but not like it is now. We now see with people in this legislature have no desire at all to include the Democrats in the discussion. We saw what happened at the end of the legislative session. You know, the frustration amongst Democrats. And Mark, who's to blame them for being frustrated? Imagine going to work every day knowing that your colleagues have absolutely no intention of honoring, you know, your commitment to democracy. That has to be extremely frustrating.
Oh, it is, Tony. And your next guest is a great demonstration of, you know, Bob King has stressed cooperation with the auto industry, the auto employers. And look what they've accomplished working together. And it is sad that the Republicans in Lansing, including Snyder and the legislature, have rejected that model. We could have done so much more for everybody in Michigan over the past year if they'd been willing to embrace that cooperative model that Bob King and the UAW have championed and have demonstrated works. I can only hope that in the new year there'll be a change in attitude. I'm not optimistic about that, but I know the Democrats stand ready to cooperate. We're not going to compromise our principles. We're not going to sell out the people we represent, but we are ready, willing, and able to cooperate if there's the willingness on the other side.
Well, my only hope, Mark, is that because it is an election year, everybody in the House has to be very careful how they vote. Especially voters, have a tendency to pay better attention in an election year? Now, the early part of 2012 is going to be critical. Because we'll have, you know, we won't have as long a memory of what happens in the early part of the year. Not that we won't be reminding voters what happens in the early part of 2012, but that's where we really need to be most careful. And if people are naive enough to think that the Republicans are just going to go, you know, if they're just going to stay away from the big issues, January, February, March, I think are going to be hugely important to the legislative agenda for Republicans. And we're going to need to fight harder than we've ever fought, Mark. Right to work comes to mind amongst other issues.
Oh, no, that's right. And now it turns out that after all these sacrifices, Tony, by people in this state, you know, the state ends up with hundreds of millions of dollars in a budget surplus. What are we going to do with that money? Are we going to rebuild our education system with that money? Or are we going to continue tax cuts for the wealthy and hide that money and not use it for the pressing needs of people around the state? So, no, these battles are going to continue. People are not going to forget the pension tax of this last year. They're not going to forget the $2 billion tax cut to the big corporations at the expense of public education. We're going to make sure they don't forget that come election time in November.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, the Republicans were not the smartest people in the world, Mark, when they put some of this legislation into effect. Some of it doesn't hit until October of 2012, which is right before the election.
Yeah, well, again, we're going to remind people of all that. Right after the first of the year, Tony, though, people are going to see the effect of the pension tax.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're going to have to start setting that money aside in order to pay over to the state government to fund this huge tax cut for corporations, which is failed to produce the kind of jobs that Snyder and the Republicans promised.
Well, Mark, we're just out of time for today. I want to thank you for everything you've done for the show since May, and of course, we'll look forward to having you back after the first of the year.
Thank you very much, Tony. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best Of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
recently on First Shift.
Just joining me now is Jerry Persan, the Senior Vice President of Advancement at Gleaners Community Food Bank.
Probably the single biggest thing that's happening is happening at the federal level now, and that's looking at the food stamp program. In 2006, there were 26.5 million people participating in the food stamp program. Then you had the economic decrease, and in 2011, there were 44.2 million. That's a huge increase in the number of people seeking food help. And so if you cut that program by 10%, the jobs aren't there for people. What are they going to do? That will have a tremendous impact on what's going to happen at our local level.
First Shift with Tony Trigiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Greenwashing. That's the use of shameless PR campaigns by notorious polluters to portray their corporations as benign, Bambi-loving protectors of nature. But now comes greed washing. And who's in greater need of a greed bath than Wall Street banksters? So, splish splash and rub-a-dub, here came J.P. Morgan Chase with a holiday season PR campaign intended to scrub off its greed. The message was that Chase is not merely a bailed-out, fee-grubbing casino huckster, but a generous philanthropist that wants only to benefit humanity. Rather than simply presenting this image makeover in an ad, however, Chase created a 2-hour television special on NBC devoted to itself, called the American Giving Awards. The show profiled community groups that had received charitable contributions from the Wall Street Bank. Isn't that just precious? If any viewers miss the point that Chase is not really a financial behemoth, but a bunch of big-hearted bankers who give away money, the show was spiked with 8 30-second commercials about the bank, plus frequent reminders that the altruism being displayed was presented by Chase. Well, actually, this 2-hour greed wash was also presented by us taxpayers, for the cost of the show and the donations to the groups are all deductible from the corporation's income taxes. Yet, we got no credit for our help. Probably an oversight. But the cheesiest part of the whole fraud is that the total amount of Chase's magnanimous donations to the 5 groups was $2 million. Come on, this outfit had $104 billion in revenues in the past year and showered its CEO with $23 million in pay, including a $5 million cash bonus. This is Jim Hightower saying, at J.P. Morgan Chase, charity really does begin at home.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out. HightowerLowdown.org.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best Of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
For the many of us who are still not done with our Christmas shopping, and for, you know, and again, we had this conversation last week, week before last, I think it was, how do we do more local? How do we buy more local? Well, Jeff, being the crack producer that he is, found us the best source for doing that. Not just buying local, buying Michigan. And so let us turn our attention now. Joining us is the founder of BuyMichiganNow.com, Lisa Diggs, who I know, because I've been through her website quite extensively, has lots of answers for us. And a Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah and Happy Kwanzaa and whatever else we're celebrating this time of year, Lisa Diggs, but welcome to First Shift.
Thank you very much.
What a novel concept. BuyMichiganNow.com. Tell me a little bit about the formation of BuyMichiganNow.com and why you decided to put some energy in that direction.
Well, I actually started it in 2007, believe it or not. At that time, my business has me traveling around the country, and things were much better around the rest of the country than they were here in Michigan. And so I'd go off, and part of what I do is help businesses improve, and I'd be helping economies other places come back, see how it was here. Somebody else lost a job or a business that I liked closed, and I just wanted to see what I could personally do to make a difference. And the easiest thing seemed to be looking at where my own dollars were going. And so it started with just a little bit of research because there weren't, I couldn't find a website of information that really helped me understand which businesses were local and which were not and that sort of thing. So I started doing a bunch of research, and then I got real passionate about it, started talking to friends about it, and they said, can we get a copy of that? And I thought, well, maybe I should put it up on some website. And so I did with BuyMichiganNow.com and originally launched the day before Thanksgiving in 2007 with the idea that if we looked at where our dollars were going, what kind of groceries we were buying to fill our holiday feasts, and what kind of gifts were going to be purchased and from where, that we could really make a significant difference. So that's really how it all started.
Yeah, you know, Lisa, let me ask you this question. If you were to describe to people what this web, Buy Michigan Now represents, how would you describe it?
Well, you know, really it's about what percentage of each of our dollars that we spend could we keep here? And it's a global economy. When I first launched it, that I heard a lot of naysayers saying, it's a global economy, you got to get used to it. And you do. And we certainly want to compete on a global level. But the reality is you can look at whether or not the store that you're buying from or the restaurant that you're eating in is really local or part of a national chain. If it's part of a national chain, then some of the money that you spend is going back to some corporate headquarters somewhere and not going into our taxes and going into, you know, supporting the local community. On average, about 30 more cents of a dollar when you buy from a local business stays in the community. Why? Because they use a local web developer. They sponsor the baseball team in your neighborhood. They do those things that larger corporations maybe don't do in every single community that they serve. So if you buy, we call it a three-mitten purchase. If you buy a product that is made of Michigan ingredients that was made in Michigan from a locally owned store, nearly 100% of your dollar is going to stay in our community.
All right, so if people are looking to utilize BuyMichiganNow.com as a resource to do some shopping for the holidays, is this a resource that they can use to do that?
It absolutely is. There's three significant things that we have on the site that will help. One is we have all year round something called the Michigan Blue Pages, which is an online directory of Michigan-based businesses, and you can search it by zip code or by keyword, and it tells you businesses that are based in Michigan, and we have some criteria, and it'll show you which criteria they meet to be interpreted as based in Michigan. We have a grocery guide that we keep up year-round. It's also an Apple application, an iPhone application in the Apple store called Grocery Guide, and it tells you brands that come from Michigan-based businesses for filling the table and filling your grocery cart year-round. And then every year, this will be the fifth one. Every year there's a gift guide that we put out as well that has about 100 suggestions. And it's really to get people thinking. We're not necessarily saying just buy this one particular product, though we love every gift that's in there, but it also says if you really try, you can make an effort and do it.
Well, and again, there are a lot of people, and that's how this whole, that's why you're here today, because this discussion started with how can we and where are their resources, and somebody says there should be a website. Well, it happened to be you, BuyMichiganNow.com, and so that's how you ended up here. But you know, there are a lot of people that want to be loyal, and yes, we, you know, we're not naive, Lisa Diggs. We do know that we live in a global economy, and we do realize and recognize that we have to look at that realistically. At the same time, the majority of us can buy local or can buy Michigan for the majority of the things that we need. And so having this resource is, I think, invaluable.
Well, we really can if we make a concerted effort. And one of the things, too, is if somebody out there is listening and they've got their holiday shopping done and they didn't really factor it in, you know what? It's a great New Year's resolution then. You know, think about all year round where your dollars are going. Ron Gettelfinger, the former UAW president, said to me when he first entered the site, he said, you know, I think about it as every time I spend a dollar, it's an endorsement of that organization and where they get their products and the kinds of things, the kind of quality that it is. And I thought, you know, that's exactly what it is. You know, we're getting a lot of products that are imported from all over the world. People are always asking me, well, does it cost more if you buy a local product? Sometimes it does, but it also means it meets the quality and safety standards that we have here in the U.S. that a lot of other countries don't have. So you got to ask yourself, what is that worth to you?
Well, you know what? And for some, and a lot of people, I would suggest, Lisa Dix, for a lot of people, the loyalty factor is worth whatever extra cost. And, you know, and chances are we're not talking significant extra cost to begin with. Mm-hmm. And so for a lot of people, it's they would rather spend a little more to make sure that their purchase is, you know, more local, but certainly loyal to the state of Michigan.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people are worried about are we going to have the dollars for schools and to fix our roads and all those kinds of things. Well, the larger our tax base is, the more we can take care of all the things that matter to all of us in our day-to-day living. So, you know, every dollar that's going to a Michigan company is increasing the amount of money that they bring in, which means they pay more in taxes, which means that comes back to us. You know, it's just thinking beyond the moment that you're spending the dollar.
All right, before we have to let you go, let's talk a little bit about this pledge. Tell us a little bit about the pledge.
We have a pledge on the site that if you agree with what we're trying to do, it simply says that you pledge to play an active role in building a strong, vibrant, and diverse Michigan economy, that you're going to be a part of the solution by speaking positively about the state, learning about our products and services, and making a concerted effort to buy from Michigan businesses, that you'll think Michigan first. If you're willing to do that, you can go to buymichigannow.com, click on the pledge, take the pledge, invite other people to do it. We're really trying to show Michigan-based businesses that we are serious about supporting them with our dollars if they're serious about keeping jobs here.
Well, it's really an exciting opportunity for people, and I was playing around with it, and literally there are dozens of categories, hundreds upon hundreds of businesses. I would challenge people to stump the system because you've got a great database of stuff there. If you want it, again, I can't imagine not finding what it is that you're looking for. And, you know, and it's as simple as folks going to where it says directory on the buymichigannow.com website, and it will give you a drop-down menus of places to go. In fact, I'm going to do it right now on the air. You click food and beverage. I'm going to just hit apply search, and all of a sudden, it's giving me a wonderful list. Better Made Snack Foods, Big B Coffee, Bosco Pizza Company, Coffee Beanery, Kelly's Carmel's. And again, all these places have websites, all of them. Lisa, I'm sure, and I don't have time to do this all right now, but, you know, I'm sure that they all sell stuff online. You know, this is, it doesn't get any easier than this.
We think so, and there's more than 3,000 businesses that are listed now, and if anybody out there listening has a Michigan-based business, it's about a five-minute process to list your business on the site as well, and our basic listings don't even cost anything.
Well, it's really an amazing opportunity, so I really want to encourage people just to go to buymichigannow.com. That's buymichigannow.com. We'll get it up on the Facebook page for everybody to make it easier for them. Give it 5 minutes. I think, Lisa Diggs, you'll be hooked for life. This is a no-brainer. To me, this is a no-brainer. Thanks so much for your time, and again, happy holidays to you.
Thanks. Happy holidays to you as well.
Absolutely. Wonderful, wonderful find. I want to thank Jeff for Jeff's discovery.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best Of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
And joining us now is Cheryl Witten, the president of the Michigan Advisory Board for Blessings in a Backpack.
Blessings in a Backpack is a national organization. This teacher was concerned because she had kids in her school who came back from the weekend tired and hungry and by no means ready to learn. These children are on the free and reduced lunch program during the school week, but no one thought, what happens to these children when they go home on Friday? So came up with the very simple idea, let's pack a backpack with food to take home with them on Friday, and they would return their backpack on Monday to be refilled.
All right, so if I contact blessingsinabackpackmi.org, how do I get involved?
There is a page to make a donation, and then we as the Michigan Board will determine where the greatest need is.
blessingsinabackpackmi.org.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off. Than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best Of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
Well, let me take you back to yesterday for just a minute. You'll recall that we had asked you to show up at a town hall meeting yesterday in Garden City. Well, we got word, I don't know, let's call it midday yesterday, that town hall meeting in Garden City with the reprehensible Michelle Klein, the superintendent of the Garden City Public Schools, was canceled. I'm going to venture a guess as to why, but we'll get to that in just a moment. That brings us to today. The town hall meeting didn't happen. We still need action, though. She can run, but she cannot hide. And on Monday, there is a critical school board meeting that, again, we're going to ask you to attend. Joining us now is Julie Naughton, president of the Garden City Education Association, to give us a little update on what transpired yesterday and what we need from you today and moving forward. Julie, welcome back.
Thanks, Tony. Good morning.
Pleasure to have you with us. A big response to you being on the show yesterday. Obviously, this is something that people care about, whether they're in Garden City or not. So explain to us what happened yesterday, and do you have any idea why the town hall was canceled?
You know, we did not get a reason why it was canceled. We just got notification that it was being canceled. And with that, but the teachers actually still showed up. And we were at the middle school. There was a middle school dance last night, and we were greeting parents as they dropped off their students yesterday. We had a big group of teachers there, and we were handing out the letter that was in the paper yesterday and a copy of the ad that was in the paper yesterday, and parents were very supportive.
Of course they're going to be supportive. Julie, you know, one of the things about the truth is it's empowering. You know, you can play the game all you want, but the truth, Julie, is the truth, and all you're trying to do is spread that message.
I feel the same way. In our Facebook pages, you know, we have so much support on them, but there is one person out there on the web, and they are attacking us on our web pages. And it seems to be just one person. It doesn't seem to be a whole slew of people that are unsupportive. So with that, I think we're making some people afraid.
Well, you know, and let's talk again about, you know, why they should be afraid. We have the truth on our side.
Absolutely.
Number one, we know that, and again, this is all my opinion. I'm not, this is not Julie's opinion. This is my opinion. I want to be very, very upfront about that. The superintendent, Michelle Klein, lied. She bold-faced lied. She broke the Open Meetings Act, in my opinion, which is breaking the law. She tried to negotiate the contract through the media, which, by the way, is against collective bargaining law as well. So my experience is she doesn't really know what she's doing. Then she is avoiding having a direct conversation. I'm not saying confrontational, Julie. I'm saying conversation. Let's just have a very civil discourse about the truth. And the truth is, things are being forced upon the teachers that no one else in the school district has had to deal with. Everybody else, any other group that has a contract, a recent contract. They've all been taken care of, except, Julie, the people that take care of the kids, and that's the teachers.
I agree, Tony. And it's almost as if they're afraid to talk to us. It's almost as if the perception that has been broadcasted from the legislators that teachers are villains, it's being amplified throughout the state, and even our local administrations, you know, they treat us that way. Yesterday I got a phone call from administration telling us that if we're out there for a cause, we cannot be on school property. And then when we were out there, there was a Garden City policeman that actually came up to us And just to make sure that everything was on the up and up and okay. And he was very supportive. He was very pleasant. And, you know, he said he knows what's going on. He's been reading about everything. So with that, I was encouraged.
Well, I'm encouraged as well. Let's remind people what we need them to do, Julie, on Monday, because Monday is a big day for the Garden City Education Association.
It definitely is. On Monday, we need all of our members there. We need community members there. We need parents there. And the biggest thing is, and we need the support of our school board members, which, honestly, Tony, I think we have it. Our school board members want what's best for the school district. They want us, they don't want us to be fiscally irresponsible. They want us to, in Garden City Schools, to stand and be there and not be threatened. And I think they would support us if they listen to the facts.
All right, and where is the school board meeting at?
The school board meeting is at Memorial Elementary. It's 30,001 Marquette Avenue. And I should qualify this. That is where it's scheduled to be.
Is there a chance they could change it? Is there a chance they could change it to a different venue?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that. With the town hall meeting being canceled yesterday, I'm just going to keep an eye on it.
All right. Well, I mean, I don't know that they can cancel the school board meeting. It's their last business meeting of the year, and I'm sure that they have business that they have to do in an open meeting.
Right. And I don't think they would cancel it. Could it be a possible venue change? There's no telling.
Well, they've got to be a little bit careful because there are laws that protect such things. And they're in all fairness to people that want to be there. Again, they publish where their meetings are. That's, again, part of the law is you have to publish where the meeting is going to be. And I know that, and I don't know exactly what the law states in regard to changing the venue, how many days out it has to be, but maybe we can do some homework on that and get that to this audience. In the meantime, I know you're going to keep me up to date so I can keep this audience up to date. We just need to continue to keep the pressure on. You can still call. You can still email. All the information is still on our Facebook page. Folks, you may have to scroll down a little bit to find it, but it's all there. So just do the right thing and let's support the Garden City Education Association. Julie, I'd like to say have a nice relaxing weekend. I don't know if that's possible, so try to enjoy your weekend. How's that?
I will, absolutely. Thank you so much, Tony.
My pleasure. Julie Naughton, again, president of the Garden City Education Association. Folks, we need to support these people. I can think of an issue that is as nonpartisan as this one is. This isn't about Democrat and Republican. This is about right and wrong. Fair enough? Fair enough? All right. So, okay. We need to help these folks. We need to help them. We need to support them. And this is a simple thing for you guys to do, is to step up and to write the school or to call the superintendent, Michelle Klein, and express your disgust over what they've done. It doesn't matter where you live. This is something you can do. And I'm telling you that the reason they canceled that town hall meeting yesterday is very simple. They got wind of a lot of people showing up, and they didn't want to be confronted. They didn't want to have to deal with the truth. Well, Monday, that's not an option. They have to have this school board meeting. They cannot cancel it. They have business that they have to execute. And there's a protocol for people that get to speak. You have to fill out a form. You get 3 minutes. You know, folks, show up and take three of those minutes. And the very least you can do is call or email your support for the Garden City Education Association. All they want is a contract. That's all they want. That's all they want. And this is all as a result, folks, of your Republican legislature making a mess, making an absolute mess. And I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. We've got to start forcing our hand a little bit. Fair enough.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
As I was sharing with you earlier on in the show today, we've got Congressman Hanson Clark joining us. Now, a little later on this morning, he and Congressman John Conyers will be holding a press conference to place some needed attention on the plight of our veterans who are returning from war, some of them, of course, disabled, that don't have jobs. And this morning at the historic Fort Wayne, again, Congressman Hanson Clark and John Conyers will be there to talk about how we salute our veterans. And on the line with me now is Congressman Hanson Clark, my good friend. How are you this morning?
Tony, it's great being on your show. You're a real champion for our people here in Metro Detroit. And you're right. Today, 10 a.m., historic Fort Wayne, we're going to salute our veterans. And the best way to do that is to help them find a job, get them the health care that they need, the shelter that they deserve. The reason I say shelter, many of the men that I see downtown Detroit that are getting their food and their breakfasts out of garbage dumpsters are veterans, which is an outrage. So we wanted to bring the veterans, their families together to meet the providers that can help them with the services that our veterans need, but to meet with them face-to-face under one roof this morning. That's at 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. So we're urging all veterans in Metro Detroit that need help finding work, getting health care, finding shelter, staying in their homes, avoid foreclosure, please come to historic Fort Wayne. I'll be there personally to be your advocate, Congressman Hanson Clark.
All right. Now, I got to tell you, that this is, of course, a wonderful thing that you're doing. I know that President Obama has a special program out there. I can't think of a less partisan issue than helping our veterans. Why are the Republicans stalling on this? Do you have any idea, Congressman?
Well, you know, I'm just trying to focus on helping the veterans right now. And, you know, these cuts, though, that are being proposed, especially the Veterans Administration, that would just devastate any help that our veterans could get. These cases are backlogged right now as it is. Many of our veterans that call the VA, they can't get through because of all the calls. So we can't really cut resources from that are going to our veterans because our veterans desperately need it right now.
Yeah, you know, and let's be mindful. We're not just talking about recent veterans. We're talking about any veteran, right? It doesn't matter when you served your country. It just matters that you served your country.
That's exactly right. And the tragedy is that many of our veterans that need the help the most that are out on the streets served us in Vietnam. And that's outrageous for them not to have a home right now. So we wanted to make sure that the veterans and their families. Also, we're busing some of the veterans from the shelters right now so they can meet directly with the people that can help them get the health treatment that they need and the job training that's important.
All right, well, let me just share. The veterans that are listening, or if you know a veteran, by the way, that would need this, folks, let me get you some information here. They're going to be connected with over 25 agencies that provide vital social and economic resources. These agencies focus on job training, higher education, entrepreneurship, and many other opportunities that are available to veterans that I'm going to guess veterans and families aren't even aware that this stuff exists.
That's probably true. And I'm glad you mentioned about entrepreneurship. You know, many of our veterans have the skills that they need to go in their own business. We want to provide them with that assistance because they can create jobs for many people in Metro Detroit.
No question. Well, again, let me remind everybody, the historic Fort Wayne, let me give you the address, folks, in case you need to MapQuest it or something. It's 6325 West Jefferson Avenue in Detroit. That's 6325 West Jefferson Avenue in Detroit. The zip is 48209, and it's real easy to find. Should be an amazing day. And again, Congressman John Conyers and my guest, Congressman Hanson Clark, will be out there today. Congressman, thanks so much for your time today. I'm sure you're going to have a big turnout.
You're very welcome. Our veterans deserve our support because they've sacrificed everything for us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Congressman.
You're welcome.
We'll talk soon. You bet.
That'll do it for us for today. I hope you enjoyed the Best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Remember to add a like to our Facebook page. And also, you can follow us on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. That's T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Remember to punch back in with us weekdays from 6 to 9 in the morning right here on 1310 WDTW. Have a great day. And as Tony would say, be well.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle. We don't just sell batteries, no. We install them fast and free with purchase on most vehicles. We install rain or shine or even that weird thing where there are some clouds, the sun is shining, but you're still getting rained on? Yeah, we'll still install it. Free battery installation, even in weird weather. Only at Advance Auto Parts. Service is our best part.
Advance Auto Parts.
See store for details.
We thought a giant gorilla was the perfect mascot for the big deals at OfficeMax. But the gorilla marketing sent us is the size of a hamster and is too scared to come down from our ink display. Well, he is about the size of the $10 OfficeMax gift card you get just for buying $50 or more of any national brand ink. A free gift card is a big deal. Our gorilla, not so much. Find all the big deals now at OfficeMax. Offer ends Saturday. Excludes HP and Epson Ink.
Seducing teen girls online is easy. A lot of them feel so lonely and misunderstood. I don't even need to lie about my age. They're just glad they're talking to someone.
Someone older I can trust. They're more mature than the guys at my school and understand me better than other
teen girls are very trusting. You just have to tell them they're beautiful and special and you can wear down whatever suspicions they have.
Have an understanding of real love. It's not all about looks. They know that doesn't matter when you're totally in love.
Love is the final piece of the puzzle. They believe anything I tell them because
I don't see why you shouldn't meet someone you totally trust. I mean, if someone really cares about you, there's no danger in
meeting them. No matter how long it takes, is always the goal. Once I get them to meet me, well, that's when things get really interesting.
Online predators know what they're doing. Do you?
1 in 5 kids online is sexually solicited. Don't believe the type. Visit cybertipline.com to learn more. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays from